welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast, episode number 65, brought to you by the Brainstorm Brewery. I am your host, Angelo, and I'm back this week with What Up, What Up.
What up, what up?
How's it going, Ryan?
What's up, man?
You haven't changed that on Twitter yet, dude.
I know. I
no excuses. Fucking do it.
I've been
Isn't that right, Sid?
On Twitter. Fucking A, man. What is this asterisk bullshit, man? What up, what up? That's the way to go, man. You owe the posse fucking debt.
So for those of you in the posse, you might know who this guy is. He is the loud, brash guy of the posse. He's the one who will tell you to go fuck yourself if I don't first. He is Sid Meister.
Every episode, that's how I knew this was the right show for me, you know?
Yeah, that has been sign-off since episode one, so that's
I remember listening to it at work, and you're like, go fuck yourself. I'm like, no, you go fuck yourself, and that's like the first time I ever talked back to a podcast, and I knew it was going to be right after that.
Yeah, well, you know how it is, man. I mean, look, I don't know where you're from, but around here, if I tell you to go fuck yourself, that's the same as saying good morning. You know, have a good day. It's all the same, you know?
Yeah, but, yeah. No, I was a little taken back when I first heard that too, but then I was like, yeah, you know what? I like the guy.
It's just how it is, man. Like, I mean, blue collar neighborhoods that understand this a lot. The heavy blue collar ones like Pittsburgh, but like, you know, the steel towns and, you know, the coal towns, like they understand that, you know, Austin's that way a lot. You tell someone to go fuck themselves. That's just, you know, that's the same as saying, how's your day?
What's up?
Yes, the same as that.
When I first heard Angelo, I was all like, man, this guy sounds awesome. If Huntmaster did a podcast, this is what it would sound like. And I just knew.
It's awesome. Those is
my- yeah, I'm stoked to be on here. I'm a big fan. I've been listening to you guys for almost a year now, man. Like, I started around episode 29, something like that. So, just getting there. And, yeah, the posse's just awesome, man. It's like, it's awesome that you guys have been having us on lately. So, appreciate that.
Hey, man, after a year, you people putting up with my shit, it was high time I had to put up with some of yours.
Hey, we're glad you're here, man. We're glad you're here. We talked a bit about it before the show. The community means a lot to us, man, and you guys are really, you know, why we do this. And I was saying the Facebook group's really about one of the only places on the internet that I talk about magic with anyone or try to share ideas and shit. That's just how we roll, man.
Yeah, and it's just like the podcast, like the community that's based on a fan of the podcast, you don't really see anything like that on Facebook. Like, yeah, plenty of podcasts, they have like a Facebook page, but there's like not anything going on there. Even on like their limited resources page, it's like pretty dead, man. But, you know, every single day I'm fucking getting spammed by all these notifications from Pit Imps podcast of all you fuckers, you know, talking about magic. And it's, you know, awesome, man. I learned about a lot of the magic news from the Pit Imps podcast. Ryan Tice is always saying cryptic shit and never leaving a link, so you know, I have to like go on the mothership and look this shit up, but you know, that's how I find out usually.
That dude never leaves links. I've given him hell about that.
Absolutely. He never fucking does, man.
He doesn't, I think it's cause he does it from his phone and he has a hard time linking from his phone or something. Yeah, no. I asked and he was like, yeah, as soon as I get home.
Earlier today, I had like, last time I opened my Facebook, had four notifications. One of them, Ryan Tice posted like, I don't know, it was some card. He'll just say the name of the card, but there's no picture or link or what the card does or anything. It's just like,
this card is good. What?
Yeah. It's like, I can't wait to make this broken in Commander.
We love the guy.
Hey, but we should probably. We get into this. We're gonna save GP Philly for last today because holy fuck, do I have stories?
And because it was sealed.
No, that's not why. Normally, that pushes it right to the front, bro.
Yeah, fuck that, dude. You're outnumbered today. I'm a big sealed guy myself. So
see, Ryan, you just
I'll tell you what, though.
You got somebody talking.
I'm really loving the way this new set is shaping up, and I'm really looking forward. I'm absolutely pre-releasing this time. I'm looking forward to it. This set looks a lot better than the last.
I can't wait to like get a box of this and just draft triple this set with my boys, man. It's gonna be fucking nuts.
Looks like a lot of fun.
Hey, well, I'm gonna need you guys' help a lot tonight because obviously I did not get to watch any of this coverage, and I actually saw very little in Philly.
You want me to go over
break down the SCG Dallas standard top 8 real quick, Ryan.
I could do it all in like 2 minutes.
Do the bracket, bro. Do the bracket first. Okay. Let's let people know who got where.
1 versus 8, our one seed at the end of the day, Sandro Bernabi against Gabriel Costa Giami, who was real impressive on camera at 8. 4 and 5, Colin Chilbert, I don't know if he's French, whatever. 5, Jason Blackmore. 2 and 7, we had Robert Rivero versus Aaron Barich, the Naya Pro, man. Shout out to him. This is Aaron Barich's third straight SCG Dallas top 8. When they did the double open last year, he made top 8. He got like, he won one and top 8ed the other one. And then this time he top 8ed again. That's, it says a lot. I think, you guys give standard format a lot of shit, but one of the things I think about this format that's good is how well you know your deck and what you know and how well you play it and know it against the field. And he's demonstrated that again and again with Naya, which no
one's.
That's
what fucking standard is.
Well,
for all the shit I give standard, that is what standard is. When I say it's muscle memory, that's what I mean.
But I don't think people recognize it enough. But 3 and 6, Michael Edgar against our eventual winner, Nicholas Schoolcraft. In the semifinals, Gabriel Costa Giami gets taken down by Jason Blackmore. And Aaron Barich, who beats Robert Rivero, he loses to Nicholas Schoolcraft in the semifinals. The finals is Jason Blackmore versus Schoolcraft, and Schoolcraft wins 2-1.
So, Sid, before you came on here, you said you knew some of these people?
They're your boys? Yeah, I actually know Nick Schoolcraft. I've played with the guy a few times. I played against him in Legacy at our Monday night event. I was playing for the shop. I was playing the store owner's burn deck, and he was playing American Delver. He's pretty cool. And then I've played him before. He has a few commander decks that I've played against him when I had my Esper, like, artifacts broken shit deck.
Ooh, Arkham Daxon.
I played him, yeah. Say what?
I was going to say, was that Arkham Daxon, but he's just blue. Cause that's
nah, it was, Sidri Galvanic Genius. She's from the Eternal Bargain, pre-constructed, and she's basically Karn with colors. Like, you pay a blue, you turn a non-creature artifact into an artifact creature, power toughness equal to the CC, and so then you pay a black and a white, give it lifelink and death touch.
So does it basically have the same Karn combo that the Karn deck has?
I mean, it has way too much degenerate shit. Like, one of my particular favorites was, Gilded Lotus plus my commander plus Memnarch. Just make infinite blue mana, take all your shit. Just like, oh, you played something? Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, it seems very close to what the old Karn deck was like.
Good. But yeah, Nick Schoolcraft, pretty cool guy. You know, he comes around. I see him at the LGS I go to, Top Deck Gaming Center here in San Antonio. And, you know, I'm happy to see him. Happy to see him win something. He looks good in this picture, man. Fucking cheesing with that trophy, bro.
San Antonio, that's where you're from.
Well, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, but I moved out here to San Antonio about 3 years ago, and that's, yeah, the Magic community here in San Antonio is, that's my fam. It's my family.
Wow. Funny story about San Antonio I should share since you are from San Antonio. As you know, I'm a huge sports fan. I talk about enough sports on here. But Pittsburgh does not have a basketball team. So when I do watch NBA games, I have watched the Spurs ever since they drafted David Robinson.
Wow.
So, like, that's my team, man.
No shit.
Hey, and their point is, the Spurs might win it this year, man. The Spurs might actually win it this year.
Ah, who knows, man. They're getting old. What was you saying, Sid?
I think they look good.
I wouldn't know, man. Fucking, you know, I'll never watch the Spurs. Whatever the Spurs are on, I just go to the bar and check out chicks' asses, man. You know?
Seems like a plan. You're not married yet, right?
Fuck no.
Yeah, that's definitely a plan. Once you get married, you understand sports so much better. It's like a 3-hour excuse not to talk to you.
I'm in a relationship. We go to the bar and check out asses. So there you go.
Okay, so Mr. Schoolcraft was on Mono Black Devotion. Ryan, I'm sure you're going to tell me all the differences in the other times.
Sid, I will tell you to tell Nick next time you see him, man, to run that Night Vale Sector main. I don't know how he got first without running the Life Bane over Night Vale Sector this week because monsters really fell off.
I'll explain why right now. Because in this finals match, he played against Green Light. Very good against that.
I'll be fair. Real quick, I forgot completely. The meta here in the Dallas area is very aggressive, and the aggro decks were out in force. We had people on the Facebook page commenting about, you know, mono green aggro was everywhere at Dallas. Naya, obviously, third place. Aaron Barrage. His is the only list worth going over. Our top 16 was 5 mono blacks, 3 green white aggros, which made a comeback. Green white aggro back in the top 16 again. Anaya aggro, 1 Esper, 1 black white, a couple of burn decks, a mono blue, a mono red aggro. That's been mono red aggro. Be on the lookout for that if you're going to FNM next week. It's made a huge resurgence on FNM. There's like a, I almost want to say up to 32 creature decks running everything from Gorehouse Chainwalker on out. Be on the lookout for that deck at your next event, because mono red aggro is making a huge comeback right now. It's slipping back into the meta for sure. It's making a huge fucking comeback. I mean, I think people are looking at red white burn, and if that's having success, then why not mono red?
Yeah, this is a real aggressive top 16 and the SCG standard. You know, we got
no white, not one blue white control deck in the entire top 16, and no Jund monsters either. They're not even.
Yeah, we just got green red monsters. Eddie Solis, we'll be talking about him later, dude. That guy has always played green red. I've known that guy for years, coming around the top deck gamers, man, and like he's played green red. Like as far as I know, when I saw him playing Delver in fucking Legacy, I was like, oh, he's gotta be miserable. Like look at his picture.
That's funny. Yeah. I like if you look at the third place list, this is the only one I thought was like really worth going over in the top 16 as far as something different. It's Naya aggro, Aaron Barrage, 23 creatures, 4 Experiment 1, 4 Fleece Mane, 4 Gore Clan, 4 Voice Resurgence, 4 Witch Stalker, and 3 Boon Satyr. Boon Satyr.
I do gotta say, with Esper control on their eyes, I do like Witch Stalker in this deck.
Fuck yeah, and mono black everywhere.
Yeah, it's just
Megan runs Naya aggro right now, or Naya Hexproof. It has had great results with Witch Stalker. Just being able to make mono black tap out on their turn more often is a big deal.
Yeah, I can see that, man.
Planes and mono black's not really a tempo deck, but yeah, when that Witch Stalker, they don't like putting counters on it, that's for sure. And then, you know, Voice Resurgence is, a lot of people have been saying it's super overrated right now, but I gotta say with the current meta, like, I would have
Voice is where it needs to be right now with,
yeah, cause
again, control's coming up. Voice is a good card against control.
Yeah. And this
is about to get insane with the release of, Journey into Nyx. There's just so much stuff that's just like, oh my.
But look at his, if you look, his 2 Ajani's, 1 Madcap skills, okay, that's unique. 3 Advents, 4 Boros Charm, 4 Selesnya Charm. This is the first, like, Naya aggro list they've seen go all out on Boros Charms. But his sideboard, 4 Skylasher, 4 Aetheral Armors, 3 Madcap skills, and 4 Unflinching Courage. So he goes straight up Hexproof after board.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, that new Ajani is just gonna fucking go in this deck like a dick up in a loose butthole, man.
I don't know, but that's 5 mana.
Yeah, but that helps you dig for what you need. Oh, you got fucking Devour Flesh. You need another creature to pants up. Boom. Plus one.
We'll talk about the Ajani, I'm sure, when we get into spoilers. I'm not so sure I'm in the camp that it's like he's the next Ralzeric. He's gonna be an $8 planeswalker. I'm not sold on him yet, but yeah, I love this dude. This sideboard just made me laugh, man.
Yeah.
It's completely transformative. He's like, okay, I'm changing the game plan right now.
And he said it caught everybody off guard. They interviewed, when they talked to him, he was like, it just comes out, he's like, I'm sideboarding out like 14 cards in some matchups. And it's like, what the hell is this guy doing?
Okay, so we have in the Legacy portion on Sunday, Colin Schubert versus Philip Marshall, and Schubert wins that, or Schubert, or whatever, wins that 2-0. I'm sorry, bro. I didn't mean to fuck your name up so bad. Joe Lossette versus Jeffrey Chen.
Top 8s for Schubert? Yeah, he top-8ed both of the events. Nice.
Yes, he did. And Joe Lossette, who I've said his name before, he wins 2-1. Jamie Rutledge versus Eddie Solis. Again, these are names that I recognize. Solis wins 2-0. Joey Lively versus Austin Palmer. Austin Palmer wins 2-1. Who did we just lose?
I'm here.
Okay, must have been Sid. Okay, Eddie Solis wins 2-0 over Austin Palmer, and Joe Lossette 2-0 over Schubert, and Eddie Solis wins 2-1 overall. Let me try and bring him back in, right, Carl?
Yeah, we need the Sid.
Sid, we need the Sid. What the hell, dude?
Sid Meister. I'm not getting this run tonight for no reason. We'll get him back on.
He just disappeared, man. I mean, he was like, I'm here, now I'm gone. What the hell?
Internets, man.
Fix your wooden internet, dude.
Ah, holy shit, man. I think like a horse ran over my internet.
It's okay, man.
I was saying, Sid, I'm not getting this drunk tonight for no reason, because you're here.
Well, what the fuck? Are y'all still talking about Legacy?
Yes, we are. I was just about to go over the list. We have Blue, White, Red, Delver in first place with your boy, Mr. Solis.
Yeah, fuck Delver, fuck Eddie Solis. No, I'm just kidding. Eddie's cool, but yeah. Fuck Legacy, man.
Oh, man, it's so sad. Okay, you know what? Both of you two, go away. I'll do this. Hey, White Red Miracles from Joe Lawson.
This is how aggro this area is. We have a mono red burn. Can you go over this list after?
I'll go over. Yeah, that's not a problem. We have Blue, White, Red Miracles from Mr. Lawson. This is your countertop. We have High Tide, which has been showing up recently again. And somebody kill this deck, please, before it really does get worse. Because as much fun as I have playing something like this, this is not something that needs to take over the.
Can I say, to be fair, I don't think it's showing back up again. It's just that the last few tournaments, some very, recognized names like Feline Longmore, people that play this deck nonstop have been at recent events and they've gotten coverage and whatnot. And so it's made it seem like it's.
Ryan, while that has something to do with it, a lot of it has to do with Legacy's, the way they're, the
well, it is format well positioned shakes right out. Now. I think yeah, it's positioned
it's,
right now.
It's the way the format shakes out to where, like, certain decks begin to take a rise and then other decks come up behind it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a very rotating box. And like every few months you can expect decks like this to hit the top. But normally we're seeing things like Belcher and.
Yeah, Miracles. Miracles is top eighting consistently now. And that was not top eighting 2 months ago.
Right. And it'll fall off again shortly. We have another blue, white, red Delver in fourth place. We have Death and Taxes in fifth.
Yes.
We have the deck Ryan wants me to go over, which is Mono Red Burn in sixth. We have another Bug Delver in seventh. We have Jund in eighth. Let's see. I'll go over this Mono Red Burn real fast. I better see some saucy things in here. So we have Goblin Guides. Those are always fun.
Pulse
Elementals.
Goblin Guide is a card that's actually relevant. You mentioned that because I'm going to talk about him later when I go over a spoiler.
Okay. Hellspark Elemental. I mean, that's 3-1 on a stick. He's going to get through and he's going to be unearthed. We have Young Pyromancer. So that's, I mean, why not?
No, I like that. Yeah, because just having a source of card advantage while you're going to the face with burns and just having a way of repeatable damage. I think something like that's really important. And I've seen the Pyromancer when he first came out and like videos with Sam Black and the guy's fucking insane. Like people need to be playing this guy.
This is two top eights in a row for Young Peasy.
Yeah, I know, dude. I didn't say he was a bad card, guys.
No, but he's on a come up. He's on the come up.
Sure. I mean, cause the thing is, it's like in Vintage, he's been there since the beginning. I mean, like since the day he was printed, he's been one of the top cards in Vintage. And it's like, well, if it's that good in Vintage, why is no one running it in Legacy? So, you know, it's finally making its way there, you know.
It's still like $2 uncommon. It's like a $2 or $3 uncommon.
That's sweet.
That's awesome. He's the centerpiece of my modern deck that I've been playing for like 6 months now. I love him.
That's sick. Satyr Fire Dancer is a one of. His lands are 17 mountains and 2 Barbarian Rings. What Barbarian Ring is basically you can sack it, deal 2 damage.
Or don't you have to threshold something?
You have to have threshold, but that is not hard with this deck.
There has to be a better land you can play than this and burn, isn't there?
No.
It's a shock. That's a land. Like, but how could there be anything better?
Mutavolt? Maybe Mutavolt? I don't know.
You don't want the Mutavolt in this. What you're trying to do with this deck specifically, like, this deck is all about throwing you can read Hellspark Elemental as a lightning bolt. Just read it that way. Satyr Fire Dancer, he's just trying to double damage, basically. Goblin Guide, I mean, if you don't play him turn one, you're not going to play him very often with this deck. Because all you're trying to do with this deck is throw as much burn at somebody's face as humanly possible quicker than they can go off on you.
This is like suicide burn, man. Like, you have no game plan to react to anything that they're doing. You're just fucking all in on burning their dick straight to ash, man.
Back in the day in Time Spiral Block, there was because everyone knows what Red Deck Wins is, there was a deck called Red Deck Loses, and that's all it was. It was just, and the deck kicked ass, but, you know, as a joke on the name, everyone called it Red Deck Loses. And all you did was just throw everything at everybody's face humanly possible, and you usually won. So it's still our 30 of them.
A Ginger Ale over a Tap and Stack who runs Burn and Legacy. This deck looks hella fucking cheap, dude.
Oh, this is stupid cheap, dude. This is like stupid, stupid cheap. Cause like even Barbarian Ring, like that is not an expensive card at all. Like nobody runs it really. It wasn't good in that format even. I mean, there was a couple decks that ran it then, but like, you didn't even play this thing in limited. It was like, it was very specific to a very specific deck in standard, which was basically like an RDW deck. So he has 2 Sulfuric Vortex, he has 4 Fire Blast, 4 Lightning Bolt, 4 Price of Progress, 4 Chain Lightning, 4 Rift Flames. Rift Flame is 4 damage to each player. So you-
Dude, this is spicy so far, man.
I know. 4 Lightning and 4 Rift Bolt. So he's not fucking around. He's just throwing everything. No.
Not even a little.
And then the sideboard is a very strange one. He has he has 3 Ashen Riders.
For show and tell.
For show and tell, right. How's he get that in? I'll figure it out in a second.
Show and tell? When they're like, show and tell, you're like, well, boom, Ashen Riders, suck a dick.
Off their show and tell, correct, sir.
Yeah.
2 Pyrostatic Pillars.
You know what's funny is a new Pyrostatic Pillar, we have a new card coming out that does the same thing, don't we? Whenever a player with 3 or less. Yeah, this is the new,
Dude, this is sick against Delver. Like, this is a good call on this card.
Yeah, we got
this deck normally sucks so bad against Delver. Like I was saying, I was playing a mono red burn deck against our standard winner, Nicholas Schoolcraft, a couple weeks ago at Monday Night Magic, and like, I don't know. I've never been much of a burn guy, but I just got the shit kicked out of me by American Delver. But if I'd had something like Pyrostatic Pillar, I think, I'd have had a better shot.
Yeah.
This deck actually gets an upgrade. Eidolon of the Great Rebel, 2 red, does the same thing on a 2/2 body.
I would rather have the enchantment in this situation. 1 Guerrilla Tactics, 2 Mind Blade Trap, 1
card. So sick. The tactics, really?
Guerrilla Tactics? Guerrilla Tactics is insane. Dude.
I have those, dude. I have like most of this deck.
I mean, when you're playing against things that make you discard, your tactics is insane. We have a Pyroblast, we have a Red Elemental Blast, 2 Smack Smithereens, 3 Surgical Extraction. That is the deck. Throw everything at your face, and then I have a little bit of sideboard tech for you.
Yeah, just a little bit of hate where necessary.
Yep. See, 8th place, we do have a Jund here, which. You know what? Very similar to the one I went over last week. But Jund has been out of the format for a while there, so it's good to see. Oh, and 12th post in 13th.
Yeah. And we just went over that recently.
Yeah, I just wanted to check and make sure that it was the Primeval Titan version that showed up recently. And it is. Good old 12th post. Yay. So that was our legacy portion. Hopefully pretty soon here we'll have more to talk about because we have new cards coming out. Yay.
All right.
So over in Nagoya, Japan.
Nagoya.
They were playing some cards, and I do believe these were some constructed cards, or was this
limited? No, this was sealed, and the top 8 was no named. This top 8 was boring as shit. It was another sealed event, rather small from what I understand as far as GPs go. It's exciting, dude. I went over all the coverage. I went, like, it's boring. I don't know. That's all I can say about it.
So we have Takashi Boku versus Chapman Sim. Takashi Boku wins 2-0. Takashi Saito versus Hiroshi Date. Saito wins 2-1. We have Ryosuke Kasuga versus Yuya Sugiyama, and Kasuga wins 2-0. We have We have Hisataka Matsui versus Ryuji Itagawa, and Matsui wins 2-1. We have Kasuga 2-1 over Matsui. We have Boku 2-1 over Saito, and Kasayuga wins 2-0. Yay, I got through all the Japanese names.
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Sounds so professional. You should be like a Japanese businessman.
Dude, honest to God, I taught myself how to speak the language years back.
I'm going to use the opportunity of going over this boring GP to refill my drinks. So you guys have at it.
All right.
Well. You're a dick. Just going to say that. So Boku, he decided to go with the black-green. In his draft portion, he did get a whip of Erebos, so that always helps in that. You play a lot of limited, correct, Sid?
Oh, hell yeah, man. Any chance I get, man.
That's what I like to hear, bro. Have you noticed that when black's open, it's open since the new set came out?
Well, in the draft portion, man, black's always going to seem open in pack one, but there's just not anything really worth picking. I think what's important to note here is that green is always open. So if black is like open and you're already going green, then it's just like you're going to have a disgusting deck because nobody's going your colors.
Yeah, the funny thing is I found that if I've taken subpar black cards in pack one, I basically shut black off and get it to myself. because, you know, no one's picking any black impact ones. So they don't go into black impact two because I've taken what little good black cards there are. And then, you know, like you said, nobody touches green, it seems like, anymore. So I just, you know, I've rocked that quite a bit. So, but I mean, his deck, aside from really the whip, it's not the craziest deck. Like, I would say this is a C deck, if that. I mean, he has a Herald of Torment. That's nice. Keepsake Gorgon, Miskara Hydra. I've
never done a Torment in Limited and lost a game yet. Like, honestly, I think that card is disgusting. It's definitely going to be seeing a lot of constructive play coming up.
Dude. I'm running it right now in a standard deck. When we get into what's up later, I won two games last Friday on the back of that card. It's fucking.
Yeah, weird. Well, imagine getting to build a deck around that card, like in draft or something. It's just like, everybody's always on Eidolon of the Countless Battles, but honestly, the best card that I think you could open is this Herald of Torment in a B2T draft, because like Angelo says, black is always open and it's just so powerful of a card. Like,
it's less of a fight, but to be honest, like, if I were to open a pack that had a foil Herald and a Eidolon of Countless Battles, I'm taking Countless Battles, because okay. I've been wrecked by that card. I got wrecked by that card this weekend. So, like, I mean, dude,
it depends what you're going, what kind of strategy you're going with, I would think.
But this is pack one, pick one, bro.
Oh, yeah, I gotta say
in
that.
A pack one, pick one situation, I'm taking the Herald every time, man, because
they're both rares, though.
So much.
That's why I said one foil, Ryan. Pay attention or shut up.
Yeah, you can get under them while they're trying to set up their board with that and just like destroy them, bro.
I don't know, man. Like, I it's probably just kind of a difference in play style there. If I have a reason like a Eidolon of Countless Battles to go white red, I'm taking it. I don't mind that fight.
If you bestow anything on a Herald, it's over. It's over a lot faster than playing the Eidolon of Countless Battles game.
Okay, but man. Now I got smacked for 12 by a Vaporkin that had an Eidolon on it just this weekend.
Yeah, Eidolon is a better late pick. Herald of Torment, pack one, pick one is, I mean, you're not committing to as much of a strategy by picking that as you are. If you go Eidolon, you need a creature.
Good. No matter when you play it, it's just gonna be like boom, Herald of Torment, and
exactly.
Then
you need a board state for the Eidolon to be good. You need a lot of things to be going right for that card to be good, and you need to make sure that
you need a lot of crap for it to be good.
It's just a 1/1 if you got to play it on an empty board
with double.
Well, you never do that. You always bestow it. But I mean, I think Ryan's right. If you're playing Eidolon of Countless Battles deck against a Herald of Torment deck, and the Herald of Torment has basically, you know, been able to answer some cards with removal and stuff like that. When you play them against each other, I just feel like it asks less of you with the Herald of Torment than it does with the Eidolon of Countless Battles. There's ways that, you know, if you don't have a creature out to bestow it on, it's pretty sad, man.
Or you're just gonna need to, you're locking yourself into more of a specific strategy. With Herald, you could go a lot of different ways, even like a blue-greenish, like tempo control type strategy. You could pick up those late.
I mean, that's what this looks like right here, man. Like,
yeah, I'll be real honest here. I don't see how picking Eidolon pack one, pick one locks you into a specific strategy, because green-white's good, blue-white's good. You're in an aggressive format as well, though.
True, but you can't hope that that's what you're going to get, and that you're going to get a lot of enchantments to help it, to maximize
it. If I'm drafting, I'm going to get them. Trust me.
Pack one, pick one. I see a 3/3 flyer for 3 that I could put any number of ordeals or anything on and end a game super quick.
You don't even have to put ordeals on it, man. It just, you play the fucking 3/3 flyer on 3, and if they don't answer it, you just fucking shit wreck them, dude. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
I have my view on it. You guys got yours. That's fine.
This guy's deck, though, you say it's kind of boring, but it's actually got, like, some very decent cards in it, man. Like, all the cards I see here, like, he has some dorky stuff like Asphodel Wanderer, but I think it's just because of the 2 Ordeal of Erebos. He wanted to get that, you know, broken draw of 1 drop ordeal that, you know, sometimes you just can't beat.
Well, what I was saying with that was he has, like, contradicting strategies inside the deck. This is why I gave it a C+, because he has things like Asphodel Wander and Return Phalanx, which with no blue, really, except for a Temple of Deceit to actually turn that thing on, so really no blue to turn it on. And he has, like, the slow strategy in there, but at the same time, he's also got, like, Tormented Hero and Boon of Erebos, which is your fast strategy in black. So it looks like he's not honed in on a strategy on this. And that's kind of where I'm like, C+. I mean, the two ordeals definitely help this deck.
Mm-hmm.
But you understand what I'm saying with that, you know, like he has four defensive cards.
Good stuff, man. You can start out aggressive, and if you run into the control matchup and, you know, you get stonewalled, you have the Return of Phalanx to help try to get you back in the game, Keepsake Gorgon, Mistcutter Hydra for like a late game. That Nessian Wilds Ravager, I mean, that card's just like absolutely insane. So
yeah, if you can get to the Ravager, it is nuts, but.
Yeah, you can 3-0 a pod with this deck.
A lot of Nessian card, if it says Nessian in this format, it seems to be pretty decent.
Yeah. We have Date. Let's move on. I almost spent too much time on one deck. We have Date. He went with your classic, white red. And it literally is your classic white red. I mean, with Impetuous Sun Chaser and everything, like he's just, dude, this is all out. Like this is, you know, to your face, all out. This is that fast deck that is really a bitch to play against. Itagaki, he's running one of my favorites, the, blue green. He got his agents. He's got his Arbor Colossus, Courser of Krufix, Deepwater Hypnotist, Chimera. Dude, this is a good deck. Holy fuck, yeah, this is a good deck.
It looks like, it could use like a little bit more ramp if I was gonna, you know, do this, but maybe you just didn't see it. But it does have a
two voyages end in a Griptide. He doesn't need that much more ramp because that basically acts as your ramp by slowing him down.
Yeah. Get that tempo.
Yeah. I mean, this deck looks sick. These are my favorite kind of decks, like, and MB2T to draft is, I try to pick blue cards that I like early because green's always open and I always have green, like, as a backup plan. You know, usually when I'm playing at the shop or playing with my boys or whatever, everybody loves the red white. The black white, you know, control is really good. And this green blue deck is pretty underrated, but you know, it's a lot of fun. And,
I don't see how Hiroshi Day lost with his deck, man. That is just insane. His top eight deck is the only one I'm really like super interested in. And
I don't think the red white deck is necessarily that great of a strategy. It's just like it has a lot of powerful cards that are like singularly good, but he's playing stuff like Afara's Warden that's very situational. God-favored General I haven't been really happy with, and like Impetuous Sun Chaser is pretty garbage. Is like the worst of the red, bestow creatures from the Theros block at that common cycle or whatever. I mean, these cards are not great. And red, white, aggro, you know, it needs something to go over the top of, you know, a deck.
I just saw Mr.
Itagaki's that has like a better late game. How are they going to get through that ass, bro? You can't get through that ass with these little fucking chumps, you.
Well, the thing is with, red, white, kind of like what Sid was getting at, is as soon as they stop turning sideways, their game's usually over.
Yeah.
If you can stop them from actually turning cards sideways, that's usually when red's done.
Yeah, just like in Constructed.
Yeah, problem is a lot of times they can get there before you can stop them. Kasuga, he's on the black-red with a very nice black-red deck. I mean, this is actually pretty tits. I mean, it looks very linear in what his plan is. I mean, two Farika's Cure, a Lightning Strike, a Lash of the Whip, a Bolt of Karanos, a Bob Light, an Anger of the Gods. Oh, and let's throw a Hammer of Perforus in there. That seems like a pretty good 8-spell package. And then his creatures are all like the type of creatures that are going to get in damage. A Cavern Land Pad, the Bestow, to give something +2/+2 and Intimidate is no joke. Ember Swallower is a fucking wreck. Night Howler is really good. Mogus's Marauder will just sneak everything in for a turn as well. So yeah, kudos to that deck.
Look at his Phoenix. He's got the Flame Reef Phoenix.
Yes, he even has the Phoenix. I mean, kudos to that deck.
I love the Wild Celebrants main board too. I've always loved Wild Celebrants. You know, he's like a 5-3 for 5, which, you know, is fine if you're trying to like be aggressive, you know, and mid-rangey like this. And just the incidental being able to destroy an artifact sometimes is absolutely crazy, and it's never bad.
I've run that thing out of the board more times than I care to admit. Like anytime I see like a hammer or a lash of the whip, or not lash of the whip, but if I see a whip, if I see any of those legendary enchantment artifacts, Wild Celebrants comes in like immediately. Just like
this. Sometimes you'll just see like the unicorn, and if you just blow up their unicorn with them, it's like it's just accidentally good on a body that's fine for its mana cost. Like I just love cards like that.
Okay, so we have Abatsui here, who is all the greed white heroic plaid. And this one can be really good. He did splash out black for Farika's Mender, which I can kind of understand that.
Yeah,
the card's pretty nice. He does have the one elite skirmisher in there. This is, again,
He's got the guild also. He's splashing black. Okay.
One swamp for 2 cards. Bad deck building. I'm sorry.
He's got access to 2 Nylia's presence also, so that helps fix the mana.
True. Yeah, I mean, this is not an exciting deck, though, overall.
It's not great.
Saitao is also on the same thing, and I bet you he's taking all of your good things, like the 2 Voyaging Satyrs in his deck, to speed out those Snakes of the Golden Grove. And, this is a little bit nicer. He's a Ferrispan Tromper. He has a Unicorn. Observant Alcaed. Nylea's Emissary is nicely Condryad. Yeah, this deck is a little better.
This deck looks like it gets on you pretty quick, man. I see the Bronze Sable, and he's just got a bunch of tricks, man. He's just tricking. It's green, white, heroic. He doesn't have too
many. Divine Verdict and Excoriate. It's good to have one of each of those.
Yeah, I like it, man.
Mr. Sim, Forest, Islands, Mountain, he's playing 3 colors. And he's mostly blue, green, and, you know, with the Prophet, and his Mountain is in there for what? Oh, yeah.
Looks like
Strike.
Got Ill-Tempered Cyclops and Lightning Strike. Pretty good.
Yeah, I will run an Ill-Tempered Cyclops. That card is good. Sugiyama, he's going red-white as well. And his deck is, I'm seeing a Griffin Dreamfinder. That never makes me feel good about a deck. Actually, it's not bad. It gets a little bit on the high end for this deck.
Yeah, the 2 of Stoneshock Giant main board. I don't think red-white has any business running 2 Stoneshock Giants, man. I mean,
a Thunderbrute and 2 Stoneshocks, that's a lot of high-costing stuff, so. Yeah. Its mistake was. So we have top 5 cards here. Hopeful Eidolon, Retraction Helix, Vulpine Goliath. Turns out to be it's just a 6/5 trampler that just turns out to be so good. Ordeal Araboth and Hammer Purphoros, because essentially that won the whole damn tournament.
Yeah, I play that in my standard deck right now, Hammer Purphoros, and it's a badass card. I love it.
So GP Philly happened as well, and I went to this. So if you guys want to go over what actually happened in the coverage, I will come in at the end and let you know what I saw. Ryan, on the back.
I mean, this fucking top 8 was stacked, and we could have had a Huey Jensen redo final, but alas, it wasn't to be. In this top 8, we had 4 GP champions, maybe 5. I don't know if Calcano's won one. For some reason, I think he's won one with like a sealed team or something, a limited GP. I don't know why. I think Calcano's won one before for some reason. But I do know of at least 4 GP champs here. Hall of Famer Jensen. This was Reed Duke's like 9th or 10th GP top 8. That's fucking amazing. Mondon, GP top 8, GP champ, Calcano, you know, Worlds and PT top 16s, and, you know, Frank Scarron, a lot of people in the community. I'm not familiar with a lot of his stuff, but I guess he's
for real.
He's Frank been to Scarron's awesome.
5 Pro Tours and a GP winner. So, no slouches here in this top 8. Really impressive top 8.
There was almost a 13-year-old in it. That should be pointed out. Hugh Jensen had to beat a 13-year-old to get in.
Yeah. Yeah, hey. He's a dream crusher. He don't give a fuck.
Dude, no, I mean, look, you gotta give that 13-year-old credit to make it to the last round of all the Swiss and still be in contention. Like,
the last big limited GP, this just goes, the last limited GP, a 16-year-old top eight, if I'm not mistaken. And
I said 13, bro.
Okay, 15 and 13. There's not much of a difference there.
No. There's just a huge difference between 13 and 16.
It just goes to show you that any idiot could put together a good seal pool.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Dude, there is a huge difference though between a 13 and a 16 year old. Think about when you was 13 and when you was 16, how different you was. That's like when in a year means everything in your life, and those in between like 12 and 16.
Fair. Yeah, but still.
So crazy at games and video games and shit anyways. Like all my friends' kids that play Magic, they're like, they're badass at it if they're into it, man. Like, you gotta watch out. Fucking, you might get your ass beat by a 13-year-old. You should go play that guy, Ryan. He'd probably kick your ass, dude.
I've had my ass kicked by kids, and karma paid off, for Jensen in the top eight because he got a shit draft. His deck. It was terrible. It was just unfortunate. He just bad luck, I guess.
Well, the winner, Frank Karen, his deck is not a shit deck. This is the badass deck.
What's he run? Let's see here.
Can I go over this one? I like this one, man.
Lock yourself out, bro.
Alright, we got 10-4-7 Islands, so we're doing the Simic thing here.
Before you go on, Sid Meister, Agent of Horizons, I don't know how much coverage you got to watch, but I was, before this weekend, I was unaware how good that card is in Limited.
What?
Are you kidding me? Dude,
do you like, not listen to when I talk?
I do listen to when you talk. I haven't seen it myself, though. I haven't been that impressed with it. When I have seen it, and this weekend, this is the first time I was really impressed with that card.
Yeah, dude's awesome. The aspect of Hydra, man, with that guy is just like, it's freaking nuts, dude. You just like get in for so much damage, it can just end the game.
Yeah, especially if you can get like a turn 2 Swordwise Centaur into Agent of Horizons and then you play Aspect, that makes it pretty sick pretty quick.
Yeah,
this guy's got the 2 Agent of Horizons and, you know, I think he just got that nut draw a lot, man. Horizon Chimera, 1 Leaf Crown on Nessian Courser, 1 Nimbus Naiad, 1 Noble Quarry. Love that. It's like Lure Bestow. It can just end the game.
Yeah.
1 Nyxborn Triton. Great dude. 1 Satyr Wayfinder.
Time out. Awesome. Satyr Wayfinder. I'm working on a Dredge and Junk Reanimator right now, actually. And this card, in this deck, this is nuts. I mean, he has got a ton of enchantments. Any number of creatures he's gonna pull with this into his hand. It's pretty sweet. Well,
the Satyr Wayfinder doesn't find any creatures or enchantments.
Oh, okay, it's
the land, but oh shit, I was thinking of the wrong card. Never mind.
Yeah, you're thinking of like Commune with the Gods, I think.
Yeah, Commune with the Gods, yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty sick card too, though, for that Junk Reanimator or whatever.
But I mean, Satyr Wayfinder's good to his land for sure.
Yeah, he's got a Citizen Oathsworn. That guy's okay. Siren of the Fangcoast. Love this card. This guy's awesome.
Yeah, this card is always a 4/4.
Yeah.
It's always a 4/4. I have never gotten to steal a creature from anybody.
Yeah, we talked about before the set release that this card was pretty good and limited. And, yeah, we hear about it a lot, but I haven't really seen it in, this deck seems pretty aggressive. I don't know.
It's one of those fucking, you can just get a sweet curve decks. Yeah. Like, it's just got a sweet mana curve, bro.
It's got a lot of curve out.
So he's got a Snake of the Golden Grove, 2 Staunch Hearted Warrior, 1 Swordwise Centaur, 1 Vaporkin, and 1 Vulpine Goliath.
He's got all the beef on the ground to keep you occupied, and then just enough little beaters in the air to just peck you to death. It's great.
Yeah, he's got the Leaf Crown Dryad too, which is just like a great plan against flyers when you got big beefy ground guys.
Yeah.
So, he's got the Aspect of Hydra, 2 of. So that was doing some work with Agent of Horizons, I'm sure. 1 Fate Foretold, 1 Savage Surge. 1 Unraveled the Aether, so he probably picked that early in the draft, because you don't see that really go late at all, and you gotta pick it pretty soon, so.
It's really good.
And 1 Voyage Sin, fucking great card. But yeah, I mean, Frank's deck looks pretty sweet. This is my kind of deck, man.
This is very scary.
I have to wonder how hard it was for him not to splash red for that Polis Crusher. You know, just one red.
How good do you think Polis Crusher is going to be going forward, man? I think that might make its way into standard constructed some way or another.
I, we, it, I don't know. It really depends on, okay, if the next standard format turns out to be a lot like the current block format, then he's going to see play. But it doesn't always shake out that way. I know a lot of people think it does, but you know, you will get a whole new set plus a whole new core set coming through. So I don't think it quite gets to that. I don't think it quite gets to that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think they're really pushing enchantments, like I said last week. And
well, on the next set, will they? You know what I mean? Cause it might right now. Yeah. They are pushing enchantments like crazy, but on the next set, they might not. And there might be enough good things in the next set that you don't play as many enchantments. And if that is the case, Polish Crusher will fall by the wayside.
They're really pushing enchantments in the next set. I mean, Constellation, the entire...
No. I mean the next block, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I meant the next block. My bad. Let's see. Calcano was on blue-white. Yeah, that's how Philly broke down. I do want to give a big heads up though about the 13-year-old. Like that was the talk of the hall.
Yeah.
And the kid just kept kicking people's ass. It was kind of funny.
Duke, I think he just bad beats, man. I think he had the best deck by far in the top eight and just didn't bring it home. I mean, his deck was insane. Got to see like he'd do the turn two, Sylvan, Caryatid, turn three, Prophet of Krufix, and just wreck, man. This deck, I love this deck a lot.
You know, the funny thing about, let's see, read Duke's deck. Let me look. Prophet, okay, green, black. Strong deck. It's a very strong deck.
Yeah, a couple sip
of not him. Enough removal.
A couple sip of hemlocks, a lash, but he doesn't really.
Sip of hemlock is at six, though. It can be too late.
Well, I know. I mean, he doesn't really have the early removal, but he's got cards like, I mean, he had plenty of games on coverage went Sylvan into Courser and just would shut down the smaller heroic decks and the smaller dudes that were being played. And then he has two gray merchants.
Yeah.
Which were big for him in the all top eight. And Keepsake Gorgon.
Keepsake Gorgon, man. That's like the best that's like one of the best cards to have in black, really.
It's so good. I think
Reed's the best black uncommon. I don't even question that.
Yeah, Reed said something that it was like the best card, in his deck and sound. So yeah, he says, what was your EP on day one? He said Keepsake Gorgon. And so it's no surprise that he drafted that in the top eight. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I bet he would have liked to have two forms of early removal, and I think this deck would have gotten further.
Yeah, I just
dude, it comes down to literally one or two cards in Franks.
I don't see how it loses to Franks, but
yeah. He needed a Baleful Eidolon or something like that, just something that he could play a little bit earlier to just shore up the ground game here, man, because Frank would just run this over, man. It's not fast enough.
Ryan, just a couple quick things for you. Nimbus Naiad.
Yeah.
/ Agent of Horizons. That's why you couldn't stop him. It's just the honest to God truth. I mean, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to make this unblockable. Okay, fine. I'll put something in the air, you know, and it's like, oh crap.
Yeah.
And you know, that is the big
thing. Before damage aspect of Hydra. Boom.
Yeah. So guys, as you know, I was there. Yeah, it was an interesting weekend to say the least. I do have to give a shout out, kind of let everybody know, Dan Beckman from our podcast, he got to the win in in-game for day two.
He's a boss.
Dude, his pool was fucking insane. I mean, I watched him go turn three and turn four Kiora enough times. Yes. It helps. Let me tell you, it helps. But my personal experience for it was like we got up. I was supposed to.
Wait. Tell the story, man. So you start with your day. You wait.
I'm trying to. If you would shut up. So Thursday, I'm trying to go to sleep early because we're leaving Thursday night real late. Okay. And I get a message from Marcel. Yo, man. Jason got a hold of me. He's having a problem putting your podcast up. So I'm like, oh shit. So I get up. I come in. Looks like we lost it again. I come in and. Let me try and bring him back on.
I'm back.
Okay. So
he's back.
I go ahead and I try to get back to sleep after fixing the podcast so it can go up before I leave. I go ahead and try to get back to sleep. Never can do it. So at like 11:30, 12 o'clock, we leave here. You might think that, oh, it's just an in-state drive. It's not that long. You're wrong. Okay. You can get from Connecticut to fucking Philadelphia quicker than you can get from my house to Philadelphia. It's like 6 hours for me. You being from Texas, I know you understand it.
San Antonio to Dallas. Like, if I had gone to Dallas, I would have been in the car, like, minimum 6 hours. But fucking Texas is humongous, too, man.
Right. So I'm like, okay, I go ahead and I fucking get there. We try to check in early so I can get a nap. Because most hotels, if they got a room clean, they'll let you check in early. This hotel, there was none of that shit. So I'm like, God damn it. So it's like, you know, 7:30, something like that when we actually pulled into town. Cause we did catch rush hour. Yay. Dude, we was like 10 minutes outside the city and it was like expected time to get in 40 minutes. It's just like you can see the buildings, you know, and it's not like you can see them in the distance. It's like you can see them. You can almost throw a rock across the river and hit them. It's just like, fuck me. So we, you know, pull into the city. We get to the hall. I wait around for Celso to get there, and then we go get breakfast. Ate a banging ass like fake cheesesteak.
Wait, you had breakfast with Celso? I'm so jealous,
dude. Breakfast me and Celso ate all kinds of shit.
Like, that should be a movie, Breakfast with Celso.
Yeah. So we get there, we have, you know, some food, then we go in and I start in the first grinder. Or actually before we even got to the grinders, no, fuck that. This needs to be pointed out. Okay, so you know how when you go to a GP, they tell you to pre-register? It'll make everything easier when you get there.
I thought that was like the mandatory shit now. You have to like pre-register.
Yeah.
On Saturday. On Friday, you can still register at the building, but you cannot register Saturdays at the building. So like you pre-reg, you get there, there's a line of people who need to go up and register and, you know, they get their play mats, but because you pre-reg, it's like a gimme, you're going to get yours. So I'm standing in line and I'm like seventh one in the pre-reg line, right? And I didn't run or act like an idiot to get up there or nothing. And I'm just standing there. And I watch about 30 fucking people from the registering on day of line go flying through the line, walk away with the playmat. So I look over at the head guy, Jason, Gutier, I think his name is. He runs PES and I'm going, yo, dude, what is going on? He's like, oh, our internet is down for some reason. It just went down right before, you know, this all started. We're going to get it up. We're going to get you fired. And it's like, well, what happens if 700 people jump in that line? Am I going to get my playmat? Because I was here on time. So he grabs one of his guys, sets him at the end of our line, right, to make sure that everybody in front of that did get their playmat. But, you know, this is like a legitimate concern at this point. You're looking going, you know, 700 people get in this line before your internet comes back up. So, like, I know Dave Buttercup, as we know him, he was like probably the 100th person in his line. And he got his playmat before I got mine, and I was like the 7th. So, yeah, I was a little upset about that. But then, you know, finally I get myself into a grinder. I went around, and mind you, I'm going like 36 hours on no sleep. I win the first round and the second round. I just, like, complete brain fart, lack of sleep type deal. I just was like, okay, he has out a bow of Nylea. He's attacking with a 1-3. Let's block it with an Arbor Colossus. Why? I don't know. And he's like, Death Touch. Okay. Oh, fuck. Like, I knew better, but I was so tired I didn't care. So I ended up losing that one and wandered around the hall for a little bit. Me and wife, we went back to the hotel. I crashed out early that night.
Oh, your wife went to the GP with you?
Yeah. She decided to come chill with me on this one. This is the first one she's been to. She had a good time, actually.
Yeah, she doesn't play Magic at all, though, does she?
No, not at all.
Okay.
But you know
how she's like, babe, you could go see the sights in Philadelphia. I'll be sitting in here seeing the sights of fucking sweaty butt cracks at GP Philly.
Pretty much, yeah. But, you know, like she said, she got a week away from work basically out of this, so it didn't matter what she was doing. She was going to be happy with it.
That's cool. Did you get to hang out with her like a lot, or did y'all just do your own thing?
No, we hung out quite a bit. I mean, actually, most of the time when I was in games, because like the convention center is right in the center of the city, and like Old Town is only like, you know, 10 minutes down the road, and that's where all your, you know, your old crazy shit is. That's why it's called Old Town, like Liberty Bell.
Is it like Old Town from Sin City with all the hookers and shit?
No, ain't all like that. That's the other side of town. And then it's like, then like City Hall is like a block and a half away, and then there's all kinds of this like neat shit you can see right around the convention center. Chinatown's like two blocks in the other direction, and it's a real Chinatown. You know what I mean? Like, got the arches with the dragons and shit and all that.
Actual Chinese people.
Yes.
Never been like a Chinatown in any town. We just don't have that in the South. I don't know what's up with that. Like, we got like Asian-y parts of town, but no like fucking Chinatown where it looks like China when you go there.
You gotta be on a coast to get that.
Yeah, all right.
So, like, there's a lot of it on the West Coast. Yeah. There's a lot of it on the East Coast. You don't find it like in any of the flyovers.
Chicago has a Chinatown, dude.
Do they?
Yeah.
I guess
Chicago's like the third biggest city in the country or something. It's probably got every fucking kind of town.
Yeah.
I bet it is. But anyway, I go ahead, we go back to the place. We're dead, stupid, fucking tired. And I look at her and I go, we should get something to eat so we don't wake up in the middle of the night and need something to eat and can't find nothing, you know? So there's this little fucking diner right across the street from our hotel, which, by the way, our hotel was a fucking dump.
Wait. Put dump. On my blast. Where'd you stay?
I stayed at the Ramada Southwest Philly.
Oh, Ramada, shit. Southwest Philly, you're dirty, bro.
Yeah, it was bad. The one thing is, like, Ramada did just buy this building.
Yeah.
And, like, you can tell because when you show up to it, at night when they turn the light on for the sign, you can see that there's another sign underneath a tarp that says Ramada on it. And it is under construction. So you're like, maybe in a year this place will be nice, but right now, like, they need to fire every fucking person on their cleaning staff and get new people in there because, like, you open up the drawer and there was, like, just dirt in it. Like,
dude, he put some fucking ratchet, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, like,
what did you stay in a log cabin or something?
Dude, it was foul. Like, I'm sitting there going, man, I can't walk through my shower in bare feet.
Fuck, get you some shower shoes, like, in the fucking county jail, man.
I'm sitting
there. I hope you didn't pay too much, bro. I hope you didn't pay too much.
That's why I stayed there. It was cheap, man. I paid less than $200 for the 2 days, so.
Hey, man, that's good value. Fucking, it was middle of Philadelphia? Shit.
Well, South, I mean, you'll get a, you might, 15 minutes from the convention center, so.
Yeah, I mean, you might get a weird fungal infection on your feet in the shower, but I mean, fuck, value.
Speaking of infections, we'll get to that later. Okay.
We'll get dick that. Isn't dripping right now, is it?
No.
Okay.
But no, like, it was kind of gross in there. So we get up the next morning, we head out to the GP bright and fucking early. We go get quick breakfast. I meet up with so many fucking people, and I will mention all of you during the shout outs that I can remember. And, you know, we have a good time hanging out, just, you know, shooting shit with all these people. GP starts, after I had this kick ass fucking, I don't know, it was like this wrap, like an egg wrap with like everything you could want in it. The thing was banging. But I get this, I eat, we start playing, I crack my pool and I'm like, holy fuck, this pool is insane. Then, you know, of course they make me hand it to somebody three seats down from me. And I'm proceeded to hand it this pool where I go, fuck. And like, to a layman, the pool looked really good because I showed it to some people and it was like, what the fuck? And then when like, I showed it to Shaheen Sarani and he's like, 3 asphyxiate. That's not good. I'm like, I know. Because there's a limit to how many of those are good. Cause like, I didn't have any return phalanx to stop things from swinging early. Like, I had a bunch of 1-3s.
Yeah.
Once they figured out that I had asphyxiates in the deck, they were just running them into them just so I wouldn't asphyxiate their creature.
Well,
so,
if you're able to like stonewall them in the early game with like Baleful Eidolon and, like serving a Tamarat, that guy's really good.
Yeah, but he's a 1-3 and they will swing with a 2-2 every time if they know that you have asphyxiates.
Yeah.
Cause I did have servants. I did have Scholar of Athreos. I ended up going black white. That was really my best option.
You know, that's actually a very good deck in the format, you know, as far as the control decks go. Like, a lot of people would think it would be blue-black just because it has the cards that you would think, like, a control deck would want, like, the bounce and stuff.
Yeah.
But it really, the defensive speed of a white-black deck is really where you want to be in such an aggressive format.
Yeah, oh, no, I agree with you. I feel like I was missing a couple cards that, you know, would have slowed things down because that's, you know, as I'll explain, I ended up getting to the point where I was getting run over before I could really stop it. And, you know, it was just like, you know, game one in every game I'd play an asphyxiate and it's like from that point on, they just would turn things sideways for no reason. And it was just like, okay, I got to come up with some reason to stop them from turning sideways basically. And I never could find that answer. But I ended up getting a game loss, because I pulled a Maddie Studios. Which I didn't know it was called a Maddie Studios until after I did it and I was informed on Twitter. It was one of those, oops, you play it too much, Magic the Gathering online. So he had out a, Spirit of the Labyrinth.
Right.
Okay. And I play,
Wait. Go, what's Spirit of the Labyrinth? That's a new
3/1.
Yes, 3/1 for two. You can't.
Players can't draw more than one card in a turn.
On a turn, okay.
Well, it's an opponent. Like, the controller of Spirit of the Labyrinth can draw the fucking cards they want, but, Spirit of the Labyrinth.
So I play, the 0/2 cantrip in white. you give your creature plus zero plus.
Oh, the Chosen by Heliod.
I play Chosen by Heliod, draw a card. Just draw a card, and I go, yeah. He goes, well, what do we do? I was like, we call a judge over here, and he tells me I have a game loss.
Yeah.
And he's like, really? And it was game three of our match. And I'm like, yeah, dude, you just won because of that. And, you know, I called the judge over, and he was like, and I explained the situation. Because I play by the fucking rules, Ryan.
But if the dude was cool, if the dude was like, takes
you, yeah, like, did you look at this card?
I did look at it. It touched my other cards. Oh, so at that point, it's too late. The game is over as far as I'm concerned. I cheated. If I put that back on there and say I win later, I feel like I cheated at the end of it. So I'm just like, nah.
Even though, dude, like, at that level of fucking competition, when you're in the main event of a GP like that, I mean,
there's no fucking putting
some shit like that. I would call the judge. I'd be like, look, this is a free win, you know? Like, if you're going for the fucking gold, dude, you know, gotta like get every advantage you can, I think.
Play tight.
Yeah, I mean, I made a mistake. I'm not gonna scumbag the dude, because, you know, if I do win, I'm gonna feel bad at the end, because I cheated the guy.
I'm saying if he
noticed it. I mean, he pointed it out to me, so he would have eventually said, we need to call a judge.
Yeah. But let me defend myself. What I'm saying is, if he insisted that you take it back, you know what I mean? Like, if he was like, absolutely insisted that he didn't call the judge or whatever, I mean.
No, he didn't do that. He said, what
do you do that? He's not gonna be like, fucking.
Yeah.
Was he like, no takesy backsies or anything?
Did no, nothing like that. He just looked right at me and he said, what do we do now? And I said, we call a judge over. And
let he left it up to Angelo, and Angelo fucking called the judge on himself. That's cool, Angelo, you know?
Yeah, and that's, you know, you played at a lot of GPs. It sounds like this may have been one of his, you know, obviously a first or second GP wasn't, you know, sure what to do. And yeah, that's cool, man. That's, those are the kind of players people like to sit down and get.
So I call the judge over. Judge comes over and he looks at me and he goes, so what happens? I explain what happens, and he goes, okay. I said, my exact words was to the judge was, I looked at an extra card, or I drew an extra card. And he goes, what? And I go, here's the board state. He has this out. I play this. I draw a card. It touched my other cards. Therefore, it made it to my hand. He goes, okay, I'm going to have to check with another judge, but I have to be sure about what the infraction is. I was like, it's a game loss. He's like, yeah, I think so. So he goes over, gets to level three. Level three comes back over with him. He goes, unfortunately, we're going to have to give you a game loss. I was like, it's what I expected. I was like, you know, because I turned myself in for this, basically, does, you know, and giving you no problems, is this going to shine better on me later if something else were to happen later? And he's like, yes, but we are going to track this. I'm like, look, I don't plan on making any more fucking mistakes. I just, want you to put that note in there that I called you guys, you know, that I turned myself in. And he's like, no, that's fine. We understand, blah, blah, blah. So I go to, I lose that one. The dude I was fighting against was like, man, what a shitty way to, you know, lose the first round of a GP. And I'm like, dude, I know the rules, and I fucked up. I mean, oops.
Were you already down a game when that, when you
it
did that?
It was 1-1. It was 1-1 at that point.
So that's game three.
Yeah, it was like turn five of game three, too. That was the worst part of it.
Now, from here on out is where Angelo went LSV at the GP.
Yeah, so game two comes, or match two comes down, and I play against this dude, and literally it was the game that I had all the answers as soon as he had them. Like, he plays, you know, for some reason I was like, I guess I'll go first, which, you know, I shouldn't have did, but I did. And he goes like, turn two, Fleece Mane Lion. I'm like, asphyxiate.
wait a minute. Why did you not want to go first?
Because with that deck, I think you're better off drawing, realistically, but against his deck specifically, I just had a feeling that this dude was going to go crazy aggro, and I just wanted to get some stuff down early, and it turned out to be right.
What do you mean you thought he was going to just be aggro? What, did he have a lot of tattoos and shit? And you were
nah, like, just reading the person, like, he just was, like, boisterous and, you know, talkative and kind of, you know, one of those really upbeat guys, and was just like, this dude is not going to play something that's
so you think on. You're Patrick Chapin, and you gave him the fucking play.
You fucking tried to next level him, man.
I kind of did, actually. But I didn't think I was Patrick Chapin. But it worked. It worked to a T, dude. Did he finally plays a fucking Boon Seder following that on his turn? I don't know why he name phased it. I go asphyxiate. I ended up playing all three against him, both games that I played, and they were all turn 3, 4, and 5.
Jesus.
And it was all like the exact same three cards, and I ended up beating a guy pretty soundly, actually, and I was like, straight, okay, this deck might work out for me. And then, it was all downhill from there. Just, I mean, the next match, I played against Eidolon at Countless Battles on a, Vaporkin, that had never had any reason not to turn sideways. And I was just like, fuck. And that was game one. Game two, he got out the Hercules, the hero of blah, 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 blah.
I don't know how to say that new god's name, man, but, you know. Like...
And then he puts the Eidolon of countless battles on top of that. And I go, oh, fuck me.
He just got slam jammed.
Right. And I was just like, okay. And then in my fourth and final match, I ended up dropping at 1-3. But I had 15 cards left in my deck. I kept a 2-land hand. Had 15 cards left in my deck. I had 17 lands on my battlefield.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? I mean, my bombs were Eater of Hope and Silent Sentinel, but I had to get to them. And in that game, I should have got to it.
Lands on the battlefield, you know you're not drawing a fucking land card for the rest of the game, so.
I was not drawing dead at that point, but I actually held this guy off. He had Whip of Erebos out, and he was all ground shit. And I held him off with, of all things, an Asphodel Wanderer for turns! Finally, he beats me by just holding cards in his hand for a while because he was tired of me killing everything. Right. And he holds like three creatures in his hand, plays all three of them, and goes Fortune of Betrayal on Asphodel Wanderer to make me pick up my cards. That's what he needed to do to win.
Oh my god.
But
Asphodel Wanderer, what a fucking blowout.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like, all right, I guess you got me, dude. That's it. And so from there, what a day. So, you know, I met up with some people earlier in the day and all these plans were made and we were going to do this and we're going to do that. So let's skip forward a few hours. Right. I go to Slick Jagger's house.
Slick Jagger's the heavy meta dude, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's known in the heavy meta community pretty well. He does listen to this show.
Wait a second. Did you not go to like a bar with the posse or what happened here, man?
The bar with the posse thing kind of became Slick's house.
Okay. So the whole posse was
Slick, shout out to you, homie. Thanks for listening, man.
Yeah, most of the people who were there from the posse and that I spoke to a good bit during the day, they were invited. Most of them did not show up. There was a couple of them that I didn't get to run into after I was basically told that I could invite a few people.
I'd have been there.
Beckman was there.
Yeah, Beckman was there. Buttercup was there. I mean, like, Celso was there. It turned into just all these people at this house. Well, earlier in the day, it was like, Slick was like, I got this and I got this and I got this. He was telling me all these things he had. I was like, okay, you know what I really like to drink? And he's like, what's that? I was like, I like Wild Turkey American Honey.
America.
I was like, you get me a bottle of that, and I'll put that motherfucker down in an hour. And he's like, no, you won't. I was like, yes, I will. He's like, I'll buy you a bottle. So I show up at his house. What's sitting there? Bottle of Wild Turkey for it.
And
I'm
like, you're retarded.
You've been drinking that American Honey ever since it first came out, because it hasn't been out that long. I was a bartender when that shit first came out.
Yeah, I've been on that shit pretty much since the beginning of it. I love it. So I go ahead, and I'm like, okay, he bought the bottle. He has thrown down the gauntlet. And we had already had plans on doing a drunk draft, so I might as well get drunk, right?
Right.
Wait.
This thing
there's
too.
There's getting drunk and there's drinking a bottle in an hour. That's a big difference, man.
Yep.
No, this is drunk draft. So like, you want to draft really quickly, so you have to drink a fucking shit ton.
But not wasted. You don't want to draft with a whole fifth in you.
But here's the thing, Ryan. When we finally got to the portion of the draft, and mind you, folks, this was streamed. You can probably find it on Twitch. If I ever get the link to it from Slick, you know, put it up on the Pit Ends page.
In a drunk draft, it's often like the last man standing, literally.
Yeah, yeah, and it was not me. So I go ahead and we sit down to this draft. And mind you, this is all second word that I'm getting to at this point, because none of this I remember. But I remember bits and pieces of it. I should, you know, change what I'm saying there. But I go, I draft through the first pack, and I guess I was taking cards from literally every color. This was not a cohesive deck at all. I was just like looking at the pack going, bang, next, bang, next.
You were trying to be hard. You were trying to be hard.
Dude, I don't know. So I get up after the first pack.
Your muscles, man. He was just all like, I'm gonna fucking slam this shit down like a pro wrestler.
Right? Like he's all like, I'm so fucking good at this draft. Like,
yeah! crushing the draft right now, bitches.
I don't know if that's it. What I might have been doing was trying to sabotage somebody else. And here's why I say that. Because after the first pack of picking these cards, I set them down. I look at Jason Alt and go, it's all you. And I leave. I handed him my deck. I said, finish that off. I went to the bathroom. I come back out, looked at the wife, and was like, call a cab. And we left.
I'm out.
I finished my bottle. What I said I'd do, I'm gone.
I drank the bottle. I'm out.
So we're heading back to the hotel, right? And like, Philly taxi drivers are horrendous, right? So this dude's just like, kind of sliding with the road around corners and hitting all the bounces, and Philly's roads, dude, they're wavy as fuck. And we're like getting back to the hotel. My wife looks at me and goes, we're almost there. And I'm like, good, cause I'm about to fuck puke. I make it one step out of the cab. I did make it out of the cab, but man, I blew up everywhere.
No shit, dude. Was it like projectile? Just like,
yeah, it was bad. I ended up passing out like damn near on the concrete. Well, some big dude who I don't even know who this guy is, but I guess in my drunken state, I mentioned that I have a podcast. And I was going to give him a shout out. So dude that helped keep my wife carry me to my room.
Dude, that guy probably saved your life there at that fucking shady ass motel. You probably could have got stabbed in like throat fog by a fucking hobo or something, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
dude, Zach, I love you, dude. I love you for that right there.
Where it's at, it's kind of weird. This is why I do think in future years that it'll be a nice hotel, because it's where they're building all the stadiums in Philly now. So it's a neighborhood on the come up. But okay. It's just like a bad old building.
Don't get me started on gentrification.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just like, how bad you were saying the motel was, that made me think that was like a fucking, like, crack motel or something.
No, it pretty much was, but you know, like I said, it just got bought and I think they're gonna repair it and make it look nice. I'd just wait a year before I book a hotel room there, okay? Let them fix that shit up. So like this dude helps me up to my room. I guess I get my pants off, and at some point I take a header directly into the floor. The only reason I know this is because, like, I still kind of have a concussion, and I wake up with this huge fucking raspberry on the side of my face, and I ask my wife when it happened, and she goes, I think it's when I said, stay right there, I'm going to the bathroom. Because she came back out, and I was on the floor, and she's like, you need to get up, and I was like, no, fuck you, I'm fine. When I say speaking of infection, I have this huge cut up raspberry on the side of my face that if it doesn't start to heal here soon, I'm going to have to go get this motherfucker checked out for MRSA, because this was a dirty ass hotel.
Just fucking put some Robitussin in it, bro.
Oh my God, dude, this is why you don't stay at dirty ass hotels, because you get face infection shit.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you, Angelo?
Yeah, so I had a couple really good streaks broken over the weekend. It's been 10 plus years since I puked while drinking.
Okay.
That happened. It's been 10 plus years since I've had a hangover. That happened. My
bullshit.
Son.
Bullshit. You haven't had a hangover in 6
years. I'm lying, bro. I have not had a hangover in like 10 plus years. That happened. Like to the point where I didn't drive home. Dave is the first person, Buttercup, to drive my car. I mean, I won't let people back my car up. He drove that motherfucker from Philly all the way back home because I was in no shape to do shit.
But when I was 16 and first had my license, I drank like a whole, like, I don't know, half a fifth or something of Crown Royal trying to be badass. And I let some 14-year-old at this party, like, drive my car home. We, like, sideswiped shit and stuff. I should have just drove home drunk.
Well, shit, man. You went home on Sunday? You didn't go back to the GP on Sunday?
No, I did not make it back to the GP on Sunday. I actually...
Did anyone day two? So is that why you all left?
No. Well, what kind of happened was they was at the convention hall till like 1 or 2 or something like that. I checked out by 11 because I had to, and I went into my car and went to fucking bed. Just sat in the fucking parking lot of the hotel and went to sleep in the back of my car.
Ah, you suck. You didn't.
Dude, there was no I suck about it. Like, I was fucking taught.
So, all you ate all day Saturday.
Dude, I expect more from you, Angelo. I don't know.
No. Actually, Saturday, me and Celso, we ate all kinds of shit, but like, there is one part of Saturday I do gotta bring up. Me and Celso went to this little place, Herschel's Deli. Right inside of Terminal Market.
Like the 10th Street or something.
It's in Terminal Market. I don't know where 10th Street came from, but somebody put that up there, but it was in Terminal Street Market. And, they have this pastrami sandwich in there, which is like New York style pastrami. So it's not like cut off of a big fucking log of pastrami that's been sitting. You know, this is like a brisket that's just been cooked with the pastrami seasoning on it. And they chop that shit up and they throw. Oh my God, was that good? That was fucking heaven.
Dude, you're giving me a food boner right now.
Oh, dude, I'm giving myself one, and I ate the shit just 3-4 days ago, right? But man, that shit was heaven. Like, it just, so good. But
dude, that's one thing I love about, like, traveling around to, like, different towns in America is just the food. Like, I went to Peoria, Illinois. I've never been to Chicago there, Ryan, but man, I love the Illinois pizza. That is, like, so good.
That's not pizza, man.
Fuck you, Angelo. Watch your fucking mouth. Watch your dirty
mouth. Not pizza. Dude, until you send that pizza to me to prove it, and I'm still gonna tell you it's not pizza. It's not pizza.
Pizza
you can roll up and walk down the street with.
Sid Meister, you're with me. That's a fucking pie right there, dude.
No, yeah.
That's in Chicago style.
Yeah, Chicago. Well, I got down here is like Pizza Hut, Papa John's and shit.
Oh, that's garbage pizza. I mean, you know, that's fast food pizza. That's not even
I'm going to order Pizza Hut right now and see if it makes it here before the end of the cast, just because you mentioned it. I'm typing Pizza Hut into Google right now.
Dude, order Pizza Hut for me and have them send it to my house.
But all in all, like,
I had to send Angelo a pizza before anyone else.
All right, order us all pizzas right now while we talk about spoilers, and I'll hit you back, man. I'll hit you back.
So, but for real though, all in all, I mean, even though my Sunday was a complete washout in Philly, like, I had a great time while I was there. All the people I got to meet was great. Again, I'll bring you up into shout outs. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm hoping to get back, you know, in a couple of years when they have another one, and hopefully next year when Pittsburgh comes around, because it's our turn in the state to have one. Some of those cats from out the Philly way who made it to that one will end up at my house, and I'll have them piss stupid drunk.
There you go. Yeah, you should have stayed though and helped Dan out, try to make day two. I mean, were you guys cheering him on or what? I know Dan Beckman was.
I was, and then like he did something that like I had to walk away from because like he got a deck check and he was, I want to say 5-1, and he goes, it's a deck check. Which, okay, cool, that happens, you know. So he goes ahead and he gets himself a deck check. And when he comes back, you know, the judges, they always do this, they're like, really shuffle those decks up. So Dan sits there, he shuffles his deck a couple times, sets it down on the table, the other guy's still shuffling, and I'm like, and the guy even looks at Dan and goes, hey, I'm going to still be shuffling for a while. You might as well go ahead and shuffle. And the other dude was actually pretty cool. I sat and talked to him as well for a minute, you know, while he was waiting for the decks to come back. And Dan's like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, dude. And then he proceeded to have the two lands that was in his hand, and that was it for like 5-6 turns. And I grabbed Barb, and I'm like, we're leaving. And I had to get away from that because I felt like I was being bad juju or something on him. And I'm like, I can't watch this. But Dave stayed and he cheered them on and he rooted them on all hardcore. I went over Slicks and got started before they got there.
Obviously.
You know what though, man? During the shout outs, I'll get to it. Like Slick, I mean, what he did, he threw the fucking, he is the GP host as far as I'm concerned. Cause what, I mean.
Yeah, you fucking like came to his house for like 1 hour and fucking chugged a bottle of whiskey and was like, boom, I'm out of here.
I was there like 2.5 hours actually.
Oh, okay.
A bottle of whiskey was done and then he started feeding me, and I should point this out, like illegal out beer. Like this shit isn't beer anymore. It's barley wine.
Yeah.
He was feeding me a bunch of that and, you know, trying this out. And then he brings over this bottle right as we're sitting down for the draft. And he's like, I'm cracking this open. This has been aged 3 years by myself. I'm cracking this open when we start the draft. And I'm like, word? This dude's taking care of us. I do remember this part of it for some reason. And I don't know if I actually drank any of that or not. But
did you try the Brainstorm Brew?
He fucking forgot to save me one. Like, he felt bad about it.
That's cool.
Yeah, he felt bad, but he's like, did I say I was going to? I was like, yeah, you said you'd save me one. Just one. He was like,
still the motherfucking man. He's still the motherfucking man.
What he did though up there, I mean, when we get into shout outs, I mean, I got much love for him. So guys, let's get this started off right. Athreos, god of money. I mean, of passage.
Oh, whoa. Was that a segue?
That was a segue.
I haven't even got the segue. We're moving into
Yes, we're moving on. So for one colorless, a white and a black, 5/4 indestructible, legendary enchantment creature god, as long as your devotion to white and black is less than 7, Athreos isn't a creature. Honestly, I don't think you care. Why? Because his ability is whenever another creature you own dies, return it to your hand unless target opponent pays 3 life. I see a reason to bust out the aristocrats all of a sudden.
Well, I see a reason that pod, and this was mentioned on the page, I believe, by someone in the first, this was the first thought that came to my mind was, well, it was nice having your birthing pod.
Yeah, well, here's the funny thing, like, at the hall, when this was announced up at PAX, I was talking to a few people here and there, and really, what it came down to was there's like, people are already starting to think of a new brew of pod, more of a persist pod. It's not going to be your old school pod. This is going to be all persist creatures. Just fuck you creatures. Like,
yeah, that's, and I completely agree with you. I don't necessarily see this in the pod decks we've been seeing, but man, this just makes birthing pod a whole lot better and modern. And like in the Cartel Aristocrats deck, like you mentioned, I'm really excited about that, man. I see some potential there too. I mean, are we going to see Act 3 or Act 4 or 5, whatever the fuck they're on?
Yeah. Right? It's going to be Junk Aristocrats, 2014 up in here, man.
Going to bother with the green though? Do you even need it?
Totally, because you have Voice of Resurgence, and like this guy with Voice of Resurgence is absolutely nuts if you're sacrificing a voice every turn. That is fucking insane value. Plus you have access to Barrels of Scarstripe, and I mean that guy is just like pure money too, man.
At the 3 drop, I'm wondering if I want it there, because I don't think I'm gonna want a bunch of creatures that get over like a 2 or 3. I'm being serious. Like
At 3, I said this when Thassa was spoiled. The 3 mana gods, you can't go wrong.
This is absurd, dude. This card is, and look, I'm a junk player. I always have been kind of a junk player. In recent years, I've kind of melded to green-red because the old school junk hasn't been there, but man, this card just melts my
junk,
heart.
That's because you didn't play junk reanimator, bro, like I did last.
Yeah, but reanimator is not my type of junk.
Junk reanimator was so good though.
How is that your kind of junk with a bunch of answers to shit and ways to extend the game in your favor, like Restoration Angel and Thragtusk? Like,
it's just pure value. It's just like every card was just like a value creature, value card. I loved like the land destruction version of junk with acidic slime. That was so sick.
My style of junk, I haven't really gotten to play my style of junk since the Thorin disappeared, but that was my style of junk, you know?
Like the rock junk.
More of a rock junk guy, like where it's just like, you know what, I have like, you know, 4 of maybe 3 different creatures, and then I just have this toolbox sitting over here. I can go aggro if you're a slow deck because my creatures are that good, but I also have this toolbox over here in case you're doing anything else, or I'll just get rid of whatever I want on your board whenever.
Athreos God of Passage is the kind of card you want in a deck like that, man. Like, this guy wants you to be playing some value dudes and like just a lot of small threats and just like, I like this Athreos guy.
In modern, not in pod, although I could fit pod in it very easily. I'm already thinking of a Doran deck with this where, you know, you put out an aristocrat on, you know, turn 2 or whatever, and you know, you might play this on turn 3, but like if you have an aristocrat out and you have this out and then you play something like a Tide Hollow Sculler, and with the trigger on the stack, you sacrifice it away to the aristocrat. So you've removed that card from, you know, that card's now exiled and they ain't getting it back. And then they have to decide whether it's okay to put that thing back in your hand because you're just going to do it again next turn or take the 3 damage. And if they take the 3 damage, you change your line of play to where it's like, okay, now I'm not going to rape his hand. I'm going to go ahead and start putting in some beats. Dude,
that's not even like Magic Christmas land right there. I think that's actually pretty viable. That could happen.
I could definitely see black white humans too with like Zathra Necromancer, this guy. I mean, just sacking your dudes, getting zombies, like something like you guys are saying, like, you know, pretty aggressive. You could go a lot of ways with this.
It's kind of slow though, man. You just like, you want to have like value dudes that are like 1 and 2 and have this guy and like Varals be the top of your curve.
Yeah. And Athreos, is a big middle finger to Supreme Verdict on his own. So, I mean, you don't really need Zathra Necromancer.
Yeah.
I mean,
you could get sideboard, you know, like against Detention Sphere or something. That way you have 2 ways to get value off of that.
The big thing that people have to keep in mind is tokens don't work with this card. Because they're going to tell you to put the token back in your hand every time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but, so you're going to have to use legit, you know, like, you know, actual creature cards, but man, I want to put out a creature every turn with him that makes somebody go, crap, do I want to put that back in his hand? You know,
yeah,
put the decision on them.
And if they Supreme Verdict you, it's like, yep. Well, you Supreme Verdict me, you're either going to take 9 to 12 life, or let me just put all these dudes back in my hand. I hope you can counter all of them, and I'm just going to keep
it. This guy in Voice Resurgence is just gonna be insane. Like, that's just, like, until Voice Resurgence rotates out, I think this is just something we're gonna see. This guy is fucking perfect for it.
So, just a, like, show of hands, and I'm being dead honest, is this the best god we've seen so far, or do you still think it's Thassa? Cause I think this is the best god.
I think it's really good. I think Iroas needs a lot to go for it, but if you get the nut hand, I think, Iroas provides you, like, the fastest, most impactful victory. I mean, I've heard things like, you know, you do the turn 3 hammer and then the turn 4 Iroas and he's already got devotion, you know, with what you played on turn 1 and 2, like a turn 2 Ash Zealot or whatever, like.
No, I can see that. It's just like Iroas needs a lot more. Iroas needs to be set up. Like you want Iroas to be a creature.
Athreos fits a lot more strategies. Yeah, I think he's great for mid-range, Jacko, like Sid said too, the whole just, we're gonna get a lot of, I think, junk value deck, coming up in standard, so. Anyway, we're seeing, I'll talk about some junk decks later.
So, Sid, you're the guest, what card do you want to talk about?
I guess since we were talking about, like, the three mana gods earlier, I'll, go ahead and talk about Farika, God of Affliction.
Are you impressed with this card, for real?
Oh, dude, I think that this card is perfectly fine. It's one black and a green for a 5/5 indestructible, devotion to 7, less than black and green, blah, blah, blah. We know that part. Yeah. Pay a black and a green, exile target creature card from a graveyard. Its owner puts a 1/1 black and green snake enchantment creature with death touch onto the battlefield. It's a token.
Which you can use at instant speed. You can put it onto the battlefield.
Yeah, I mean, this guy looks totally serviceable. That green-black junk deck, or green-black dredge deck that's so popular, online. We saw it in the Mox Championship or whatever. I could see them maybe playing this sideboard or mainboard. You play a 2-drop and you play this guy and you play Jared. I think that it's active, right?
Well, here's the thing though, is that you want, especially with the dredge deck, is you want your stuff. They're not even necessarily running Scavenging Ooze because of Night Howler. Like you want your shit in your yard.
Well, what if your Night Howlers get like Slaughter Games or something? It's just good to have something like this, you know, that you can continue to use your graveyard. Yeah. I think honestly, the dredge deck's not using Scavenging Ooze is like.
Oh, I see synergy with this and things like Lotlith Troll and you know, you're discarding creatures to Lotlith Troll, making that bigger. And then you're getting the extra value on top of it. I like this card. I want it to be good. I'm having a hard time just because of the 2 mana for its ability to exile a creature card. And Scavenging Ooze at 1 mana is a lot more manageable to get a counter.
Yeah, also, if you exile a creature card from your opponent's graveyard, it gives them the snake token.
Yeah, right. And where does it fit? Because I don't see it fitting in black-green aggro, especially with Dreadmangler still around. I mean, maybe after rotation is to be seen, but I don't really see this slotting in like a a green-black aggro, and I don't really see it in like a mono black splashing green or really anything. I don't know. I'm not really sold on this god. I don't think he's.
I think
he's
this card will be fine. It's not like there's not a deck for it right now, but you know, like people will play with it because it's 3 mana. It's a 5/5. I don't think it's nearly as good as Athreos, God of Passage. I mean, but I think it's gonna be fine because it's only 3 mana. It's, you know, inoffensive to play. I would love to play this in a sealed or in draft. I would think this would be one of the better gods to play of the ones that we've seen so far. Like just from Theros and Born of the Gods. I think all the gods personally in this set are definitely playable and limited. Even
yeah, which is a change. Actually a change, because in the last sets I didn't think that all of them were. I think it was like hit and miss one or two.
Phoenix was just like a stone cold like bomb in this mat. Because you could build around him and you pick him so early. But yeah, you're right. Like even Xenagod, like as good as he is in standard, he's often just too slow in the sealed in draft format against like some of the more aggressive decks, and he can get tempoed out really easily. So
right, but, and a lot of the other gods, I mean, realistically, like they just, you get him and go, do I even want to play this? I mean, even the first god from Theros, he was just like, You know, because the Red God, if you didn't have a bunch of creatures in your deck, it was useless.
Like, it comes down, if you get Devotion, it's huge. It comes down early. You know, you can start getting advantage for it. It can help you stabilize your board if you're getting run over, because the snakes have Death Touch.
Right.
You know, if you've just been chump blocking and you finally slam this, like, you, it can start to stabilize your board. I think she's fine.
I think she's great in Limited. I mean, I actually do think that, you know, as far as Limited goes, this setup of gods is probably the best one for Limited.
Well, Limited, too, I mean, recurring value is huge in Limited, and to get Farika and Limited gives all your, you know, all your bodies are now 2-for-1s.
Right. So, she might be the best god at Limited.
In Limited. Well, but
I think Athreos is absolutely insane.
It's insane.
That, it's still good at Limited, but I think it, honestly, like, in Limited, now mind you, I think Athreos in general is a better god, and it's going to see more play throughout other formats, but right. I think in Limited, Farika is the type of card that can just stop a game on turn 3. You know, like, my 1-drop died, okay? My 2-drop died, okay? Turn 3, I got a Farika out. Oh, you're in trouble because now I've just stoned your next, you know, 3 attacks or whatever with it, because...
That, and it's got some disruptive factors, like, if they got a whip, you know, and they're going deep on a whip strategy with, like, Commune with the Gods and stuff like this, you can hose them.
Let's make that a 1-1. It doesn't have haste, and you're not gaining life off of it. It's...
Yeah, you just lose that activation, man, like... She's good, man. I like her.
Yep. So, Ryan, I know there was one card particularly you wanted to talk about here.
Well, yeah, the card I see that's going to make the biggest impact and make a lot of things playable and a lot more relevant in the standard format, legacy format even, for some reasons, is Mana Confluence.
Yep, it is a fixed City of Brass.
Yeah, I mean...
I can't believe I'm saying those words.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, man. Sid Meister, he just mentioned the green black dredge deck, and I think this is a land that makes that deck a lot better, a lot more playable. I think it makes your quick aggro decks that want to play two colors much better. This is, I can't really think of a deck that doesn't really want this card.
I'm excited to play this with Night Vale Spectre. I think that's gonna be the tits, man.
Yeah, I mean, Night Vale Spectre can be a bitch to cast, man. You do get those hands where, shit, I don't know. I like Mana Confluence. I really see it in, you know, given decks like Dredge and some of these other kind of fringe decks an opportunity to see play. It's definitely another City of Brass for Dredge and Legacy.
No, it's not another City of Brass. It's a fixed City of Brass. That needs to be stated, man.
Well, yeah, but now play like Personal Sanctuary and like City of Brass is just kind of broken at that point, you know, like.
I mean, look, I played during the Painland years where like that was our dual land for fucking 5 years. That was all we had really. We just kept reprinting the Painlands and they're good. And when you give me a Painland that says any mana, dude, I'm playing it. Like this card is fucking stupid nuts. Get them now. Don't ever sell them. That's the only words I have for anybody. Get your 4. Never sell them.
Well, City of Brass is what, like an $8 card? I mean, it's not.
That's been reprinted so many times, though.
Yeah, this is the fixed version. It is pre-ordering for 20 right now. Well, as of today, it was, at least this afternoon.
That's fair. And I think that's fair.
I think this is, the most exciting card that we've seen spoiled hands down. And, I think it's gonna really open up this format, and that's what I'm excited about. It makes even decks like Green White become a lot better with this card in his mana base. It
makes any dual color, if you're playing more than one color, it makes the deck better. It just does. Yeah. What makes, this card makes me wonder about though, is, cause the fact that they're giving you access to every color of mana while there's shock lands in the format, it really makes me worry and wonder what are our dual lands gonna look like next block.
Fetch lands.
I saw that thing on the Pitim's Posse page. That looked fake though, because the Wooded Foothills was like missing a set symbol.
I wish I could tell you right now. I saw there's been a couple cards that some people were pointing to that I just can't think of right now off the top of my head that kind of point to us getting the fetch lands reprinted.
Man, I don't think that they'll reprint Fetchlands until at the soonest when Deathrite Shaman rotates out. They would not put Fetchlands in Stamped Opera.
No, it's not M15.
It would be the fall set of whatever comes out this year.
If they put it out in M15, it would be a very broke format for about two months. It would be absurd.
Though, I don't know. Fucking.
That's livable.
It got boring for a while. You get fucking Deathrite Shaman. I don't know. He might give a shot in the arm to it. You know?
Deathrite Shaman not played in standard outside of it. It's a two of in a fringe deck.
Yeah.
I thought the green black dredge deck played Deathrite Shaman. Yeah,
exactly. That's the only deck that plays Deathrite Shaman. And it's a two of. And it's only a two of.
At my game core, that deck's actually like really good, man, but I guess it's just like the guy that plays it or whatever.
Yeah, I watched Celso play a grinder and get to the finals with it this weekend, so.
Yeah, I think that deck's fine.
I'm actually, kind of looking at a junk list and that dredge list myself to maybe play in some upcoming stuff, but yeah, I mean, the dredge deck does look fun. I don't think it's there yet until we get, the new temple. What is it? Temple of Malady or whatever? What's the?
Malady. So. Hey, Ryan, can you go to your next spoiler? Can we move on?
Oh, okay.
We're rambling.
My turn again? We're getting two.
Go again.
I mean, aside from I'm playing Black Aggro right now, Gnarled Scarhide really, really intrigues me, but the one I pre-ordered, I feel like $20, I don't know, maybe I'm an idiot. I got a playset of Master of Feast, pre-ordered up. It's, a colorless, 2 black, 5/5, flying, enchantment creature demon. 3 mana, 5/5 flyer, that's right. At the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent draws a card. Now I'm looking at this as a mono black aggro player and saying, I don't give a fuck. It's at the beginning of my upkeep, so if they draw some sorcery speed removal, if they draw a, Supreme Verdict or something, they gotta wait till my turn, or their turn, you know, they draw the Dreadbore or whatever, and I'm gonna get a chance, I'm hitting for 5 with this thing. I can't wait
till somebody just repeatedly bounces this card on you, like 6 turns in a row.
No, this is how you do it.
Who's playing Tempo? Angela, who's playing Tempo? This card is nuts. It's nuts.
Ryan, you asked me a question.
No one's playing Standard. It's not, there is no tempo deck.
But the thing is, okay, now you expect this card to be really good, okay? So if this card is in fact really good, guess what people are going to start playing to combat against said card? Tempo!
I don't know. Mike Lore has compared this card, I think, very eloquently in a well-done article to Goblin Guide. I think he was spot on, man. I think they have to draw the answer. And if they draw a card, any card advantage they get is going to be spent answering this. And I'm fine with that. If they get the most they're going to get is one or here's how I look at it. They're going to get one or two draws, extra cards, maybe. And it's going to have to be spent answering Master of Feast. If they don't answer Master of the Feast, they're fucking dead. Mono Black now has Herald of Torment is a 3/3 flyer for 3. And this guy is a 5/5 flyer for 3. Man, I'm telling you.
There's a lot of power there.
This guy with Notion Thief, that'd be fucking sick.
Exactly. You all draw
that might be at Christmas land.
Yeah.
But
stack fucking flashing Notion Thief, that's like, I don't know. He's okay.
People are talking about this in blue-black control. I've seen some of the forums online today. People talking about this in blue-black control, mono-black aggro. Look, they're not going to have card advantage for long because they're going to have to answer this dude. And if they don't answer this dude, they're dead.
Right.
Go ahead and draw a little tutu and play it on the ground or whatever. Like,
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying,
for limited,
he's insane.
Yeah, absolutely insane and limited. Maybe the best card for limited spoiled so far is as far as power goes. I don't know. I like Dawnbringer Charioteers a lot too, but Master of the Feast, man. Yeah, I'm pumped about that, and I'm confident enough. I'm gonna test them out. I'm already testing some new things. I cut Painseer recently. Was not very impressed with him. I don't know. Yeah, I think Mono Black Aggro is going in the right direction. And this guy, Angela, if anyone hasn't read or is interested, Mike Flores did. I don't really like Mike Flores, people know that.
I'm not wasting my time reading anything he wrote.
It was a good article, though.
I don't care.
Can I do another spoiler?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dude, I'm like really excited about this card. This is Riptide Chimera. Two in a blue.
First art in the set.
Dude, this guy, are you kidding me? This guy's amazing. He's got a shark head and a piranha head and a fucking lobster claw. What's wrong with you?
This art cracks me up, dude.
This art is insane. That guy looks so cool. And the flavor text, I fucking love the flavor text. He's a 3/4 flyer. At the beginning of your upkeep, return an enchantment you control to its owner's hand. So he's like, he reminds me of Esperzoa from Modern Masters. And that guy was just like amazing. So I can't wait to play with this guy.
This card is actually quite stupid. A 3/4 flyer for 3 with an upside.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And Kiora says, I want one, and I want Kiora, but that's a different discussion.
Yeah, I mean, me as the idiot.
The thing is, to bounce back to your hand a bunch, if you don't have, you have to have a enchantment heavy deck, dude, or you're never gonna get a swing with this thing.
Trust me, sometimes I've seen this before.
Right away, you can just like play it out and then like leave it up as a blocker because the guy's freaking huge like early in the game, and then you bounce him back and you play him out again just until you can play enough lands to like play him and like Stratus Walk.
No, you don't do that. You play Fate Foretold.
Okay.
And this is not a hard thing to do in a draft.
No, I don't think it would be at all. I'm excited about playing with this guy. I think he's really good. I can't wait to play him in the green blue deck, which is my favorite the format right now. I don't know like what Journey into Nyx will bring into you know, the limited format just yet. Until I see the whole spoiler, I don't really think about it too much, but you know, I just think this guy's gonna be great for limited, and I'll be picking him pretty early.
I agree with you 100% on that. Staying with the limited theme, I'm gonna go with Nyx Fleece Ram for the white black control deck. You want this?
My girlfriend loves this card, man. This is the card that she's like most excited about from the new set. And the art's sick, dude.
I just know, like, if I'm playing limited and I know I'm looking to go white black, that gaining one life every turn for fuck all forever because he's an 0/5. Yeah, dude, I want that. Yeah. Just stop you and gain life every turn for a while. Like, that just puts the brakes on things until you can start setting things up with, like, a Scholar of Athreos and whatnot.
I love the defensive drops in this set, man. You got this and you got the Scryfish. Just, like,
that's
going to be pretty good in the limited format after this. You have a pretty good defense lead.
You know what I see with Nyx Fleece Ram, aside from Therese Nielsen's art in this set, is fucking sick, dude. She's a couple cards spoiled with her art, man. She's the fucking best. But this and Archangel Thune makes me pop a little boner, man. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Gain one life, put a 1/1 counter on all your dudes every upkeep. Pretty sick, man.
Okay. Oh, we lost them again. Yarr.
Lost it. I don't know, man. I like that sheep a lot too, man. I'm with you on that.
Okay, so I'm gonna move on to my last one here. Just because somebody's gonna have to say it. Ryan, here's your chance to go on a tangent. A Johnny, Mentor of Heroes. He has an ultimate that says gain 100 life for -8.
Fail.
Yes, -8, gain 100 life. You know what? I can set up a infinite life combo quicker than that.
That's so fucking pathetic. What a lazy design team.
However, let me continue.
These pieces of shit.
Stop and let me go over the card, damn it. Okay, so for +1, you distribute 3 +1/+1 counters among 1, 2, or 3 target creatures you control. That's solid.
That's it's not a May ability.
+1/+1 counters. That's awesome.
That's not a May ability. So you have to have three. You have to have a fucking dude to do that.
Okay. +1. He also has another +1 ability, which is look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal an aura, creature, or planeswalker card from among them. And put that into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order.
So, yeah. If you don't have the creature to do the other +1, you just fucking dig with him. I mean, I think this guy's great.
I don't know if I'm going to go with great.
Yeah.
Because I have a very simple, that's my like simplest test is can he protect himself? And he cannot.
And at 5 mana. Yeah, man.
5 mana, however, in green white, I hate to break it to you, but if you make it to turn 5 playing green white and you don't have a creature on the board, you already lost anyway.
If you're playing this in green white aggro at the 5 drop spot, you already lost anyways. I think the 3 drop of Johnny is so much better.
Instead of, you're applying him already to existing strategies. Where I can see him being put into a green white over the top deck, which is just trying to go a little bigger than
they got a Johnny for that. They have the 3 drop of Johnny is so much better than this one right now. It's miles ahead of this one. This
guy is meant to be like a utility card for like more of a mid range
TNG deck. Like, I would think he'd be good in the sideboard of, like, what you were saying, Megan was playing the Naya Hexproof or whatever. You know, he just allows you to get card selection that's so hard to get in the color scheme that you have. And, I mean, I think he's fine. I think he's a good dude.
I think, you know, and his ultimate doesn't win you the game. That's another test of planeswalkers. When you look at a planeswalker and, you know, when you want to evaluate one, you know, A, can he protect himself? He fails that. And B, is his ultimate going to win you the game? And all this ultimate does is prolong the game.
I mean, it could win the game against, like, mono red burn or, like, probably even any aggro deck. Like, what are they going to do about you gaining 100 life? I'm not saying, yeah, like, obviously you don't win the game right on the spot like you do with, like, freaking Elspeth or Jace the Mind Sculptor, but that's just not what planeswalkers are doing anymore, man. Like, this...
They aren't Jace anymore, that's for sure. I mean...
It'll be so easy, too, to just get this guy to go off.
No one wants that, but man, I'm Selesnya, and this Ajani pisses me off. Dude, I've been waiting for this Ajani for a fucking year. And I,
truth is, it's very Ajani like that. I mean, yeah, as far as his ability goes, this is really Ajani. Like, if you look back at all the other Ajanis, everything here fits his other cards. I mean, making things bigger, finding other creatures. I mean, the gaining of life thing, even that was on, Ajani Vengeant, you know, but he dealt damage too.
I think a commander player would agree that this Ajani is going to be awesome, like, in green-white decks for commander.
He seems like a very casual planeswalker to me. Casuals love the life gain. I'm telling you, man.
I'm not even looking at that.
$8 planeswalker. This is the next Gideon. This is the next, Rouseric.
Dude, I'm not even looking at, you know what? I'll be real honest. As far as ultimates go, I like never even look at them. Cause I don't ever expect to use them and I don't ever care if I do most of the time. I mean.
Well, one of his plus ones is very dependent. Like, I could see it being maybe in Bant, like, you got, or in a deck with Mutavolt, you just have the Mutavolt, go ahead and put 3 counters on him, like.
That's huge. He becomes a 5/5 then.
I could see synergy. 5/5
Mutavolt is huge.
Yeah, that's really good. I could see a Johnny in like maybe Bant or some, you know, but Bant running Mutavolts. I mean, that's a 3 color. Maybe with Mana Confluence now it is.
I think they run 2 anyway right now.
I think yeah, you're running Sky in any deck with creatures and you slam him and you make somebody huge or you dig for whatever card that you need. Fucking get back on track. This guy's
Johnny,
awesome.
You have a Johnny Varel the Holeblade who lets you double counters and then you got that one guy that the new guy, if you get 5 counters, take an extra turn.
That's pretty
there's some random adorable. Combo. There's random combo stuff with him. Fathom Mage. There's like a 4. I've heard of weird 4 card combos. I think he's a failure too in that he's Mentor of Heroes and his well, none of his abilities. Like I wish there was a way like one of his abilities would like trigger heroic. Like if you target a heroic creature, like you may activate or you may like trigger its heroic ability.
I don't know, if I give 3
design magic cards, man, that would suck.
This guy's if I give 3 +1/+1 counters to a heroic creature, I'm happy with that. That's better than any trigger that I'm gonna put on it anyway.
Oh, you get a tally, dude, so fuck it.
yeah, I mean, I do see some synergies with some cards that aren't being played right now, like I mentioned, like Varel.
It's great. I would rather see a card that creates a new format than a card that just goes into, it goes into the existing.
So, I mean, like I said, I'm Selesnya. So I also like him coming out of my sideboard. He's a mirror breaker in that match.
You have cards like Voice that helps protect him to get to him. I don't know. I don't think he's that bad, Ryan.
Yeah, I think he's okay, man.
He's better than Last Chandra.
There's another guy I want to talk about from the spoilers, man. I'm pretty excited about this dude.
Okay, go ahead. You're up next.
King Makar, the Gold Curse. He's 2/2 black for a 2/3. He has inspired. Whenever King Makar, the Gold Curse becomes untapped, you may exile target creature. If you do, put a colorless artifact token named gold onto the battlefield. It has sacrifice this artifact, add 1 mana to any color of your mana pool. I think this guy is going to be, like, probably one of the best first pack one pick ones that you could get in draft, probably for this set. And I'm already thinking, like, in Commander, he's going to be sick because, like, I don't know. I just think this is, like, the coolest inspired card that I've seen so far that they've done.
Yeah, you're just looking for ways to machine gun him every turn. Tap him for something stupid, like, you know, anything. Tap him for a mana. Oh, yeah, he untaps now. I could kill that.
Yeah, you like, you can just like turn a Savage Surge into a kill spell, or a Crypsis into a kill spell. I mean, I think this guy is, I can't wait to play this guy.
Springleaf Drum, tapping him down every turn.
Yeah, exactly. Like Springleaf Drum. You don't even have to attack. That's a machine gun, and then, you know, if you do need something, like, in a hurry, you do have those fallbacks that, Sid was saying there.
I mean, I could see him with, like, two, like, Painseer and other creatures, like, with Inspired, and maybe, Springleaf Drum's got a deck here we might see. Hey, I mean,
yeah.
Ryan, what is your third and final card?
Oh man, this is a tough one because there's so many I'm excited about. Launch the Fleet, I think, is a good Strive card, but my favorite.
He said that that's his last one. Yo, he's trying to throw in extras.
It's a Tessin Tactics, man. It's a Tessin Tactics. It's a one in a green. It's a rare instant Strive. Cost a green to cast for each target beyond the first. Until end of turn, any number of target creatures get +1/+1 and gain. Tap, this creature fights another target creature.
Dude, you know the funny thing? Did you see my Booze Cube submission? It was basically this card.
Yeah. This is so good.
That is awesome.
Well, I love this card, man. I think it's really good.
Let's fight pool, man. I don't know, like, I used to play the Fight Bear deck back in the day with, like, Predator Ooze and Ubenwald Tracker, and I kind of like light. Fight cards are cool.
All right, let's move out of spoilers for the week, man. Let's get it over with. Let's just call it. Next week, we're going to do our craziness, so let's just chill on the spoilers for now, because we're already 2 hours into this cast, and we got a lot to go.
Fun, though. I'm loving it, man. We got motherfucking Sid Meister on.
Yep, and I got to get up in a few hours for work, so yeah.
It's Honka Bonka Tuesday, man. Tomorrow's Wednesday, that's my Sunday, man, so I'm fucking,
I know you're wired and good to go for good, but you know, unfortunately
I gotta work tomorrow too. That's no excuse. I said to myself, Sid Meister's fucking coming on.
Well, you also don't have to edit a fucking podcast when we get done either.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's listening to this anymore anyways. It's just really, the podcasters are all like, why does Sid say fuck so much? Like, he's so fucking annoying.
No. They're used to that, though. They're used to that.
So, yeah. Guys, pre-release crap. They have those stupid packs again that I hate, and if you choose white, you get Dawnbringer, Chariot,
which is a bomb.
You get the best card.
You know what? I don't even feel like making this fucking argument right now.
It's the third set in a row where white has gotten clearly the best pre-release card.
Well, I don't know. Silent Sentinel wasn't that badass in Born of the Gods, man. I much preferred the Porch Stoker Dragon. You could just, like, put Gorgon's Head on him or Baleful Eidolon and just make him so broken, dude.
Okay, so you're also going to get... Oh,
Scourge of Fleets.
Scourge of Fleets. Feedback. Hello?
Okay, hey, what's up?
No, I was just checking to see if I made a safe cut point yet, so give me 1 second. Okay, with that white pack, you're also going to receive the Spear of the General. This is for that stupid side thing they do. Scourge of the Fleets is your blue one. You're going to get Cloak of the Philosopher with that. You're going to get Doomwake Giant in black. That's the 4/6 that shrinks.
Hold on, I want to talk about this, because when we were in spoilers, we didn't talk about Constellation too much, but this is something I'm really excited about, because it's like all of the Constellation creatures kind of remind me of Enchantress. You have the one Eidolon of Blossoms in green that does the classic Enchantress effects, is like draw card, but yeah. I love how like it lets you have like incidental value for just casting enchantments. That's a powerful thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it shrinks and kills stuff. You can't argue that. We have Spawn of Thraxus, so you get a red dragon. Go figure. And you get Heroes Bane, a Hydra, if you choose green. You're also going to get Axe of the Warmonger with your dragon and Bow of the Hunter with your thing. At the launch party, you get Dictate of the Twin Gods alternate art, which, by the way, I do like this art much better than the actual cards art.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. You'll also be eligible to earn on your Heroes Path card, the Destined spells you cast that target a creature you control. Cost 2 less to cast, but that's not a tournament legal card, so who cares? Squelching Leeches will be handed out at game days, and if you top 8, you get a Dictate of Kruphex. That's the Flash thing.
This one is sweet looking, man. Michael Parrish was talking about it earlier, on the Posse page, and like, I gotta agree with him. This thing looks fucking amazing.
This is my EDH art.
Yeah. The art on that, yeah, that art is ridiculous.
Yeah. And good job, Ryan Barger.
Yes, Barger. And speaking of Eidolon of Blossoms, you get a really cool looking one of those if you decide to buy a box of cards, which Sid, you said you're gonna be buying a box and drafting, so you're gonna get one of these.
Well, my roommate's gonna buy a box. I just buy singles. He goes crazy with the booster packs, but I always draft with him, so yeah, like, I won't get it, but I'll get to see it. It's so shiny.
Sweet. Okay, so those are your promos. So, Sid, well, we just,
what's up?
We'll spend 10 minutes or so just, you know, getting to know you a little bit better, bro.
Yeah, that's way too much time.
Where did you get the name Sid Meister?
Well, you know, like, I used to be really into Pink Floyd and stuff, and I just, like, you know, would sing a lot, and they'd call me Little Sid, and, after Little Sid, it became, like, Sid, and then I saw American Pie. I love that movie, The Stiffmeister. I feel like he is the movie personification of, like, what I am as a person. Like, I really related to him as a character.
Oh, my God.
So I started calling myself the Sid Meister, and a lot of people call me, like, my buddy Duncan, he calls me Sidward, like Squidward, and, you know, there's just so many variations of it, but yeah, I tell the ladies that it stands for sexy and intelligent dude. It's just like, I don't know, didn't really like the name Jason, so I changed it.
Okay. I see. I thought maybe, you know, as a little kid, you got hung up on, you know, the Heatmeister and the on your Christmas specials and shit, and was like, I want to be the Sid Meister.
That one went a little over my head. I don't know what the fuck you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, there's somebody who's like 40 out there who's laughing, going, oh, I'm Mr. Heatmeister.
Angelo.
I'm Mr. Cold.
What the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Fuck you, dude. We have you on tape singing Cat Dogs. You can go fuck yourself.
I am, damn it. Run to the rail.
Ryan, you got a question for Sid?
I mean, shit, man. I don't even know what to ask this dude. I'm a big fan of Sid. That's all I can say. Megan gave me a huge thumbs up when she heard he was coming on, because we laugh at your profile pictures on Facebook. They're always fucking funny. I was real excited to have you on. Glad you're here with us. I don't know. What's your favorite format, dude? That is one thing I want to know, because you don't really, you talk about kind of everything on the page, so.
I would say my favorite format of all time is probably Modern Masters Limited, because, like, I wasn't playing during the time that a lot of the stuff that Modern Masters came out. I just feel like it's a culmination of just, like, all the best stuff from back in the day, catching me up on what I missed in Limited. And, I really like it. Unfortunately, it's cost me selling a lot of my collection to keep playing Modern Masters drafts, but it's just like, I can't think of anything I'd rather do.
I can understand that, although
that's a good format. I mean, what do you,
I was a little underwhelmed by it, but I had the opposite effect where I've already lived through all this.
Yeah, you played all that old shit, but like, I had never played like fucking Affinity in draft or like Giants or Storm in draft. I'm just like, this is insane, and it was awesome, man.
Yeah, that is crazy. What is, I mean, do you run any constructed? I mean, what's your bag there?
In standard right now, I'm playing a red white devotion. It's Zen Syed's list from SCG Atlanta. I just love playing like kind of combo-y stuff. I like going off. So he has the Legion's Initiative, and I try to go off with that and like Fanatic Amogus or Purphoros God of the Forge.
Is Legion's Initiative the one that lets you exile?
Yeah, it's a red and a white, creatures get +1/+0, and you can like exile it and exile your whole team, and they come back at the beginning of the next combat step with haste.
So that and Fanatic Amogus, I never even thought of that. That is pretty fucking brutal.
Yeah, it can kill on like turn 5 sometimes if there's like no life gain, and you just like, you can run them over, you can really go off with that shit, and you know, that's just the kind of decks I like to play. In modern, I play a Young Pyromancer token storm deck with just like Empty the Warrens, Krinko's Commands, you know, stuff like that, your storm cards that you'd expect, like Rituals and Faithless Looting and Jataxian Probe, and I don't play much Legacy. I'm really not on that mode of like
wanting to spend that much money right now to play Magic, because I just play casually. I don't really play competitive too often. And I've played a few Legacy tournaments. Like, I was playing Legacy the other night, and I was playing Bug Delver versus American Delver. I just lost with, like, no permanents on board, and I'm, like, playing this fucking $1,500 deck, and I'm, like, fucking wicked. Like, I can't even do anything with all these, like, badass cards I have, you know? I'm looking at, like, Goyfs and fucking Bobs and shit, and it's just, like, I don't know. It's not my bag, man.
I'm with you there. I'm a standard guy. Sounds like you like limited quite a bit. I got a non-magic related legend. Indica or Sativa.
Oh shit, man. I just like to fucking smoke a lot, dude. I don't really care.
That's my guy to guy. Alright,
man. You know what? I got a question for you, non-magic, that I'm sure you'll answer, which, you know, I'm sure if I asked other people, they wouldn't. What's your preference? Drink Stink or Into Pink?
Well, you know, fucking, I like to go in the pink.
Wait. What the fuck is, what is drink, stink, and in the pink mean?
Drink is the mouth, stink is the ass, pink is the third option.
Well, yeah, pussy over everything.
Yeah, you know? I like the pink because the texture is just, like, it's real good. The butthole, like, it's tight, but it tends to not have any texture. But I don't know, I was doing something a little bit different today with my chick, and I think I'm starting to like the stink a little bit more. I'm starting to gain some respect for it, so.
There you go. Attaboy.
The things we talk about on Twitter.
Well, you know what? We have to be somewhat entertaining, right? We can't just be all serious about tournaments.
Questions about anal sex. Post on the page, courtesy of Sid Meister. Send him
Posse, I call you to arms. Drink stinker in the pink. Just let us know, you know? I don't think your wife, like, looks at the Pit Ends podcast page. So
it's oh, pussy over everything, dude. That's all there is to it.
It is nice. It is very, very, very
it nice. Is, but I don't know, man. There's just times. I mean, it just, there's times. I mean, let's face facts. Like,
wait. Can I just say our sponsors?
It's just me.
Right.
What?
I said our sponsors right now are like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, I don't think Brainstorm Brewery don't know anything about me, man. So you really should have told them that I don't give a fuck. Like, the bottom line.
Well, the problem with that is Marcel knows me, so, and so does Jason. So, yeah. You know, if it's that bad, yeah.
I am jealous you got to meet Jason all, man. I am jealous of that, GP Billy.
So I guess that's all the getting to know Sid we need, because Lord knows if you're on the page, you know him. You know him better than you realize. okay, I'll move into our what's up portion. I'll finish mine off by saying I went to Philly. Ryan, what you been up to?
I mean, not shit, brewing new stuff. So I had some fun at F&M last week, wrecking with my mono black aggro brew. Fuck you, Pain Seer. You're completely unimpressive. I'm done testing you. You're just a 2-2 bear 9 out of 10 times. I don't know, I think I mentioned two before. He's cost me a couple games in testing, so I'm not the Pain Seer hype. I want to say get over it, people. It's
that hype's been dead for a long time, man.
Well, no, I mean, people are still trying them out, bro, and people are talking about them going forward with the Master of the Feast is like a way to, you know, if you could keep their board clear and you got that out, and you could kind of negate their card advantage with Pain Seer's card advantage.
If Springleaf Drum doesn't make him playable, I don't know that there's anything that will.
Yeah, he's just, I'll tell you what he was good for. In a couple matches, he was, an opponent's sloppy play wasted, just blew a chain to the rocks on him. And I followed up the next turn with like a desecration demon that was able to close out the game. And he was in another game, just instant spot removal, fodder. So that's Pain Seer's purpose in the deck. He's just spot removal fodder. He was targeted as soon as like he hit the board. I never really got to untap with him. I've replaced him since with that, the enchantment Spiteful Returned or whatever.
That I like whatever that card.
Now, what it's done in testing is taken my deck from an average of like a turn 5-6 kill to, I could get around. It's taken about a turn and a half, 2 turns off the deck, just cause whenever it attacks it 2 damage.
Yeah.
So it's so much better than Pain Seer, I think, man. I wasn't impressed with Pain Seer, so I'm cutting him, replacing him with that. Herald of Torment is fucking great. I think after Desecration Demon's gone, Master of the Feast and Herald of Torment are gonna wreck house. I was playing that Bant Walker's deck. That deck's fucking nuts, dude. Is that the one you were kind of working on?
Like, that
I
don't was know. The one that I basically built. And it's funny because after all this time, they're finally coming around to my original build and they're actually running the, Sylvan Caratids in it.
Yeah, I still think that deck needs like Archangel and Prophet of Grufix main board also, but that's just me.
I think Bant Walker's is getting a lot of badass shit come, Journey into Nyx too though, so.
Completely agree. Yeah, completely agree. I think an underplayed card in that too, when you see more creatures in the deck, is that there's that counter spell. I think it's Spell Rupture or something, that counter target spell with power, inverted mana cost, like less than, the creature with your highest power or something.
Oh, the Spell Rupture from Gatecrash.
Yeah, from Gatecrash. I think that card is underplayed in Bant control. Oh, excuse me. But yeah, I had my Herald of Torment, fucking awesome. Just gives my mono black aggro a little more flexibility. Like I was playing that, like I said, Bant Walkers, and I had him to like, 4 life, and an Arachnos Cackler on board, and I'm like attacking with Cackler and Mutavolt, and he goes Elspeth, and that's just the end of my deck, right? So, right. I'm sitting with a Herald of Torment in hand, I'm sitting on 4 lands, and a Herald of Torment in hand. And he plays Elspeth. The only way I can win is top deck land, bestow the Herald of Torment and swing. And that's exactly what happened. Top deck the fucking land and swung for the win. He was like, I've completely forgot about that card. I was like, I know it's really fucking good. So yeah, I got like, I don't know, 3rd or something running that. Had some fun. If anyone's got questions or wants to run mono black, I am that mono black aggro. That's what I'm working on right now. Get at me. Let's work on this shit. Yeah, I mean, that's all I've been doing. That and, I don't know if you guys have seen BBD's Junk Reanimator list. He put up a versus video, this week on it. Pretty fucking fun. I'm running kind of a tweak on that. I like Angel of Serenity as a one of in there. I'm doing some things with that and, yeah, I don't know. That's about all that stuff. I got a text earlier today. Megan said she wanted to play with Reed Duke's Junk this weekend. I was like, I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, yeah, I want to play with Reed Duke's Junk this weekend. I was like, what, is there a tournament that we're going to? I was like, man,
are we going to play with this junk, bro?
Ryan, you're going to lose her, man. You're going to lose her.
Yeah, man.
I was like, are we going to an open? Are we going to an open series or something? You know, like for real.
Eiffel Tower with Reed Duke. That'll be the shit, dude. That'd be so awesome.
That's a fucking, dude, achievement. Challenge accepted, Miser. Challenge fucking accepted. How do I prove that though? Is the hard part? Like, how do I
live stream?
You don't even got to tell anybody. Just as long as you know that you got it done. I mean, fucking.
I would so the dude. The Eiffel Tower is pretty sweet, actually. So I would say that. But yeah, no. So she goes, no, I'll send you a picture of it. And I'm like, what the fuck is she talking about? And she sent a Reed Duke, I guess, ran a junk deck to 10 place at an Invitational or something recently, and Jerry Thomas wrote an article on it. It looks pretty sweet too, man. And it's got the 2 Archangel of Thune, 4 Courser of Krufix, 2 Obsidots, you know, 4 Scavenging Ooze. Sylvie, I mean, this deck, I don't know. I think we touched on it last week. It's fucking sweet, man. I don't know. I might have to fight with her for some cards on that, but otherwise, yeah, I'm excited for the Reanimator and shit. Just new stuff, man. I'm over mono black.
That's good.
Mono black devotion, at least, so.
That's good. Sid!
Not, man.
What's up, dude?
What have you been up to?
Nothing.
Give us stories from your home area. Things that we need to know.
I've just been going to work, man. You know, we got cable recently, so I started watching, some of the shows that I've never seen before, like Game of Thrones, which was fucking really awesome. I'm caught up on that. And, this new show.
Spoiler. Did you see the latest episode?
Yeah, I did, but don't fucking say shit.
Just don't even bring it up, man.
Yeah, don't even bring it up.
Let people watch it themselves, man. You want to talk off of mic or okay. You want to talk so after we're done recording? Yeah, that's good. Just be quiet, dude. I knew that was coming a long time ago, and you didn't hear me say nothing, did you?
Well, I know what happened in the books and shit. So like, but I'm curious to see if the show goes a different direction and who gets blamed for.
Well, how are they going to go in a different direction when the executive producer on the show is the guy writing the books?
Yeah,
I don't know, because they showed some things on the episode that they were like visible clues that were like clearly pointed at a couple of people.
Talk about it later, man. But yeah, yeah, Game of Thrones is the shit, Sid, so I'm yeah, glad you
I've also been watching
it.
Rick and Morty. It's this new cartoon show on Adult Swim. It's like, this guy and his grandson, they do all this like crazy sci-fi shit. And dude, it's just like, I gotta say, it's like the best cartoon show that I've seen come out in years, man. Like, fucking
what's weird. It called?
Rick and Morty. It comes on Adult Swim.
It looks like a little kid's cartoon, and then you watch it and you find out, whoops, no, it's not.
Dude, that show is fucking awesome. Like,
it's coming back next week though.
Which one?
Boondocks.
Boondocks. Yeah, Boondocks, that one's coming
back in the next couple weeks.
Adventure Time is coming back next week too. I'm pretty excited about that. You get to find out like Finn's father, human father, is gonna be like the season premiere or whatever. So yeah, it's like, I love cartoons. I watch TV and shit a lot. And yeah, man, just been smoking with my homies, you know, enjoying this B2T draft, and just been playing Standard. I went to Standard last night. I went 2-2, kind of sucked dick, but you know, it was cool. Got to hang out with my homies, drink beers, you know, smoke a little something.
What did you run at Standard, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, just the red white I was telling you about earlier with the Legion initiative. Yeah, I wasn't able to really go off any games. There was one game where I did like a triple burning tree emissary into Fanatic Amogis and then Legion's initiative. That was pretty sick, but that was like one game out of like fucking four matches.
Well, you like red white. What do you think of this new launch the fleet with Purphoros, man? The Strive, where all your targets have a 1/1 soldier creature enter the battlefield tapped and attacking.
Well, I haven't really thought about it yet, but shit, I'll be thinking about it now.
I mean, launch the fleet and then Purphoros, all those guys enter tapped and attacking and deal 2 damage just for entering the, you know, with the Purphoros. Ah.
Yeah, all I can think about is like Athreos Bruise right now, man. That's all I've been thinking about, man.
You're stuck on that.
You can't say I blame you.
I'll wait for Sam Black to do something with that, and then I'll run whatever he does.
Yeah, but yeah, man. So just been trying to get my dick wet anytime that I can. That's what's been up with me.
Okay, sounds good. You got any shout outs, Sid?
Yeah, I got a couple of shout outs. I want to give a shout out to posse member Kenny Perez. He wanted me to mention him. The winner chicken dinner food truck in San Antonio. It's fucking badass. They got these things called guacabolas. It's like fried guacamole balls.
Is this Kenny's place? Guacabolas,
but he said there's no relation.
Wait, this is Kenny's place?
Yeah, this is Kenny's food truck, yeah.
Okay, say the name again. Give him a shout out. Plug him.
Winner chicken dinner. So if you're in San Antonio, like, let them know you're in the Pit Imps podcast and Posse, and they might hook you up with a little something special. They take tips for Magic cards, and cards are accepted. And yeah, that's my boy, man. I play Commander with him and his homies, and that's like my Commander group.
That is awesome. He would take cards as tips.
What's up, dude?
Man, I got a Tarmogoyf. How much guacamole balls can I get?
I wanted to give a shout out to Top Deck Gaming Center. That's my LGS that I've been going to. Like, I went there for the first time, realized like that's the most chill, like fucking family, like not family friendly necessarily, but like just like family type community. It's like it's almost as like tight knit as the posse, you know, but in real life. And I just love that place. And yeah, I wanted to give those dudes a shout out. I want to give an anti shout out to fucking Access Hollywood, because they totally spoiled what happened in the last episode of Game of Thrones. My girl's not caught up yet. She's still on season 3, and now she already knows like what happens on the last of the episode of like season 4 episode 2 last night or whatever, night before last.
Yeah, some bullshit there.
Yeah, that was some fucking bullshit, man. I was like,
hey,
how are they gonna do
you,
that?
Access Hollywood. Fuck you.
You know what? Fuck all those shows like that. I can't stand them fucking shows.
Hey, my question, motherfucking Sid Meiser, is what the fuck were you doing watching Access fucking Hollywood?
No, I wasn't watching it. My girl was watching Access Hollywood.
Oh. Okay.
Lesson, didn't she?
Blame the girlfriend. The girl.
Yeah, no, like, I didn't fucking see it, but she told me about it this morning. Like, she came over today and we hung out and played some dual decks, Jace versus Vraska, which has been fucking awesome, by the way. I love that one. And yeah, she was telling me about it, and I was like, well, that's some fucking bullshit. And also, anti-shout-out to Wells Fargo, because those fools, I fucking went to the bank yesterday and deposited my paycheck, and I still haven't posted funds to my account, and I wasn't able to fucking get a bottle so I could be drunk for this shit tonight. So, that sucks, dude.
I'll second that, because I deal with Wells Fargo all the time through my work. We do financing with them. Yeah, fuck Wells Fargo.
Angelo, you got any shout outs, man?
I have a bunch of them, so I'm gonna let Ryan go before me.
Okay. Well, what do you got, Ryan?
Shit, fucking Sid Meister. Sid fucking Meister. That's shout out number numero uno, of course, for coming on. Man, I was pumped. Shout out to this vodka that's got me fucking wasted right now. I'm sorry if I'm being loud. I'll have to listen how loud and shit I am later. I have no idea.
It's not really that you're loud. You're rambling a lot, though.
Yeah, how often do we get Sid Meister on?
Apparently once every 65 episodes.
Or whatever. Hey, people love the longer episodes, so whatever, dude. More shit for them to laugh at. So yeah, shout out to the posse for listening and laughing and all the love. Shout out to, what's his name on Twitter? Is it 1886? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, 1886.
1886. Dude, I will get you, I was supposed to send you my death and taxes modern list the other day. I never got around to it. I'll post that to you. I'll send you that. I'm fucking added Spirit of the Labyrinth and some shit, so I gotta send you an updated list. Shout out to, we went over SCG Milwaukee the other week and I totally spaced. I didn't see him in the top eight coverage. Shout out to the winner, Kevin Wang. He's from my LGS. I hollered at him this week at F&M and was fucking, I don't know, he listens and some other people there is like, dude, I gotta give him the shout out. So Kevin, shout out to you, buddy. And, I don't know how the fuck I missed that, dude. I don't know. Kevin Wang's not really like a normal.
Neither do I, man.
I didn't see the top eight coverage, his matches, and I didn't see the finals. So I went and I was talking to my buddy. I was like, Hayden, who got second in the legacy recently that we talked about. I was talking to Hayden. I was like, well, how'd you do in Milwaukee? He's like, oh, I did all right. You know, Kevin won. And I was like, our Kevin won. Is like, yeah, Kevin fucking won it. And I was, so yeah, dude, shout out Kevin Wang. I'm sorry, buddy. Shout out there on that. Shout out to my local gaming store, obviously, on the come up. I mentioned it, a lot of players, you know, grinding and getting a lot of second places, getting first places, trying to make a name for the area. Shout out to my LGS also for holding a badass modern tournament this last weekend. Someone was supposed to get at me about that on the Facebook page and come by. They gave out, dude, a playset of all the fetch lands for modern.
Sweet.
That's fucking insane, man.
Yep, that's sweet.
And a huge turnout. Obviously, I didn't win or I'd be talking about how I just got a playset of all the fetch lands, but fun nonetheless, man. Dude, I gotta give them props. Dude, that was a huge prize and, brought out a ton of people, people from all over the area. So that was cool. We got states coming up May 17th and that's close by in Bloomington. I'm hoping to see a lot of our people there representing. So yeah, that's what's up. We got a lot of tournaments actually coming up in this area I'm excited about. So yeah, and, anti-shout out to Henry Cow, my third round opponent. I looked at my records. Have you guys done the Zam League thing online where you can look at your lifetime, like, Planeswalker stats?
I haven't looked at my Planeswalker stats in a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about that.
Well, there's a site. It's more in depth. It gives you your win percentage in every format, your win percentage against every opponent, lifetime win. I mean, it's insane, right?
Oh, that's awesome, dude. I want to like look it up and see how many times I've whooped my boy Mammy's ass.
Okay, I'll show you after the show. I'll post you the link after the show and show you how to do it. It's cool as shit, right? I look the guy up. I beat him like six times. I'm 6-0 against him in constructed and, he flipped on me, Friday night. I kept a hand like, three land. I mulliganed. I kept a three land hand with like a Thoughtseize and two duress and he was on Esper and I'm playing mono black aggro. Terrible hand for me. I know. Especially if he gets to hit his land drops. I have nothing early and I proceeded to draw like all eight of my discard spells and a couple like one drops and a mutavault and just beat down. And he was so pissed after the game and just talking shit and like this guy.
Oh, yeah. Shout out mutavault.
Dude was watching, asking questions. He goes, why did you take I took a defense here with one of the cards when he had like a, I don't know, something in hand and I had a good excuse for playing it. I thought the line I took was perfect and, yeah, he was like, this Henry guy was like, yeah, misplay, just misplays that whole game or something. And I was like, dude, whatever, man. I fucking kept a loose hand, got what I needed, held shit when I needed to and I don't know, dude, there's a reason.
Cool story, bro.
I don't know, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like when people flip out when you lose or whatever and talk shit. Like, it's just unbecoming. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I never do that, so.
I got a buddy like that, but he's young, man. We try to, like, not take it too personal, man. You know,
it's like, dude, I beat you every time I play you. Like, just get over it. Like, it's not, like.
In-boss status.
Like, chill out, bro. Like, I don't understand. So anti-shout out to that dude. And shout out to the new Master of the Feast. They said Desecration Demon was going to be bad. They say you're going to be bad. You're the shiznit.
I think that Flame Breath Phoenix will probably be better than he is. Like, once Desecration Demon rotates out. Like, yeah. I just don't think that guy's
a 5/5 for 3. Good luck.
Okay, dude.
Flame Breath is good, but this eats him up.
Yeah, but I mean, they would trade. Flame Breath is a 5/5.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I don't want to make the Doomblade argument on anything either, but.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, everything dies to Doomblade, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think the deck that's running this is going to have a lot more answers. I don't know. I do, though. I completely agree with you. I think Flame Breath is much better after, we get some stuff rotated out.
Yeah, once Desecration Demon rotates out, it's just like, it's a 4-drop. Desecration's a 4-drop. Like, they can pay tribute and just block it. So it kind of sucks right now, but once Desecration Demon is gone, he's going to be like the big thing in the sky. Like, for red, so I'm trying to pick up a playset of them now where they're still cheap.
Good idea, for sure. Yeah. Sweet, yeah, so yeah, that's all my shout outs, dude.
Okay, I got a list of them here, unfortunately. let me give a shout out just real quick, to Trevor Gully, and people, if you're listening from Baltimore or Philly, I have a little bit of news I have to pass on that comes directly from Mr. Gully. At Top Deck for the Win this Saturday in Dover, Delaware, if 20 people show up for a standard tournament of a $25 entry, a Mox Ruby will be given out to the winner. And if they don't get that many people, then it is going to be prize support with packs up to the amount of money that is actually in the pool. So this is great support from this LGS here. And if you live in Baltimore, Philly, Jersey, Dover, Delaware is not too far away. And you got a shot at a Mox here, so I suggest that you go get that.
Fucking go be the mayor of Value Town, bitches.
You know what I mean. Even if, you know, 8 people show up, fuck, that's still $200 worth of packs right there. That's still pretty good value.
It's nothing to sneeze at, bro. I'd play for that shit all day.
Yep, so go get on that. Okay, oops. Look, right here, that tournament is now over. I'm sorry, folks. I had stupid internet problems, which is why this podcast is going up so late. But this game store is actually going to hold something like this every month. I'm going to get the details a couple weeks ahead of time next time, and I'll make sure I let you guys know. So, yeah, back to the show. Other shout outs to Buttercup for just being fucking awesome this weekend.
Fuck yeah, Buttercup, you're awesome, dude. Love you.
Dan Beckman, same thing, man. Just awesome this weekend. Sometimes you go to GPs with people, it's first time going to a GP, you know, making the long rides and everything with them. Those two it was so easy with. Like, I mean, just good companions to have.
You on the other hand were the shittiest company possible, like fucking.
No, shit. Dave said I was great. I sat in the back of the car and I kept my fucking mouth shut. I also have to give a huge shout out to the lovely Babs. She took care of me Sunday when nobody else would. Good woman. Huge shout out to, Stenrich from the, podcast page. I got to meet you down there in Philly, hung out with him for a while, talked with him for a while. Real good dude. Apparently he's a hell of a paintballer. you wouldn't know by the fact that this picture has a huge mask on it, right?
Shit.
Huge shout out to Slick Jagger. The party he threw this weekend was fucking top notch, man. Like,
dude, those heavy meta guys really seem like they're fucking cool guys, man. Like, I don't get to listen to the show that often because I don't really have much time for podcasts, like outside of like the two, this being one of them that I really like. But, man, they just seem like fucking cool dudes, man. Like,
oh, for sure. And they're all in the family, man. The SVU, the posse, we all run together, dude. I'm SVU through and through. And, I look up to those guys and what they do over there. And our crews definitely, you know, you could say we got their backs.
That's cool, man. Yeah, those guys seem awesome, dude. I'd love to like meet those guys someday.
Yeah, we do kind of, intermingle with each other quite a bit.
Back when I was a baker and I could listen to podcasts like at work, and so I was just fucking listening to all the podcasts. Like, heavy meta was actually pretty good, man. Like, so
Yeah, speaking of, I want to give a shout out to the ferret. I'm sorry that you decided to leave, Heavy Meta.
Well, he's on break, but
he's done, dude.
He's supposed to come back now and again, and.
Yeah, so's Will, too.
Oh, man, fucking shout out to Will, bro. I miss your dick, man.
Dick who? I never got, you know.
Okay, I also need to give a shout out to, Jason Ault. Good to meet you, dude. Yes. You're not the oppressive fuck that everyone makes you out to be. You're actually pretty cool. Even though you did decide, I did kind of sabotage your side of the draft when I handed you them packs, but you kind of paid me back by, filming me trying to walk down four flights of steps. So. I take that with love, and I think that was pretty funny. Huge shout out to Mr. Martin Brunet. Martin is the kleptomaniac of the SPU, apparently. He's just randomly stealing shit off of everybody in Philly. Yeah, good so dude, good. Though. Fucking hilarious guy to be around. Huge shout out to Celso. I had a great time hanging out with him this weekend. Shout out to Chase. Sorry I didn't get to talk to you as much by the time you got there. I was a little too far. And I didn't mean ruining Slick's drafts all the time. I meant like he's already going down a road, then he brings you in so he can go take a piss and you grab three cards that ain't on color. That's all. That's all I meant by that, dude. Shout out to Eddie. Got to meet him down in Philly, and real good dude, real good. Shout out to Time Elemental. By the time me and him really got to hang out, he was on his way down and I caught up quickly. But we had some good conversations. Shout out to Zach Milano from the page and from Twitter. Got to meet him finally. And shout out to Ruben. I hope you're feeling better, dude. Honestly, like you look like shit, bro.
So what happened? He ate some shit and just disappeared all sick and shit?
He ate some stuff when he got there and he just didn't feel good the rest of the weekend. Like he came out and he talked to us for a little bit and just was like, I gotta go back into the other room. He was gonna try and draft with us, and I was like, dude, I was really looking forward to drafting with you. And he's like, oh, I'll try. I'm like, nah, man, you're entirely too sick. You need to go back to bed and just take care of yourself. There will be other GPs coming up where we can chill when I can get in a draft with you.
Like, you even had the screaming turbo squats, man. That sucks.
Yeah, he was pretty bad. Like, Slick thought he was hammered. Like, he just showed up at my house hammered because he wasn't at his house 2 minutes and he was in the bathroom puking.
Oh shit.
So like that's how quick, you know, it was like he got there and he was just immediately sick and
the SVU poisoned him.
Dude, I don't even think the SVU really had a chance. Cause like he must have got food on his way to Slicks, got to Slicks, was like, hello, threw the stuff in the fridge and was like, I need to use your bathroom, and then he disappeared for the weekend. But, I mean, he did come out, he did make sure he said hi to everybody, very, you know, courteous as far as that goes, but man, when you're that sick, dude, honestly take care of yourself, we'll have plenty of time in the future to chill, that's not a problem. If you wanted to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at Gongsu on Twitter, also the same on MTGO. You can also find me, this week I'm writing up a report on GP Philly for, Bro Deals. This one's actually half written this week, so I know it'll go up.
I've written articles for Bro Deals, and Jack is always like, I don't know, he just completely fucking ignored it, man. I think like the shit I write is like way too crazy for him to want to post or something. I don't know what the deal that is.
Really, for Bro Deals, that's crazy.
Yeah, I wanted to write for Bro Deals.
And I'm terrible.
It was a while ago. It was like when Theros first came out. I wrote like a whole limited primer for it and sent it to him an email, and like, you know, I just never fucking heard from that fool. I felt a little slighted, man. So I was like, fuck that shit. I'll write for my own damn self, you know?
Fucking write for us, dude. Send your shit to Angelo. We'd love to have you writing on the fucking pitips.com.
Right on, bro. You got it.
Also, you know, read the occasional thing on pitips.com. You know, we're still building up our writing source, and the lovely Babs is still working on getting the page fully 100% functional, but it's getting there slowly but surely. You know, we're going to.
More the merrier. Sid's probably got some Hewlett surprise worthy shit. Give it to us. You know
also, you can, let me think. You can get a hold of me at pitimpodcast@gmail.com. Aside from that, don't get a hold of me. Ryan, how can people get a hold of you?
Of course, Brother Yan on Twitter. Bro the Ryan, I don't know, I'm up to like 660 or something, so keep the follows coming, folks. Yeah, fucking A, love all you guys, and, the Posse page on Facebook, of course. Obviously, we've been talking about it all fucking night. That's our lifeline. That's how you get at us. So, and like we've said before, don't be like me if you listen to the show, and don't be a lazy fuck. Get on there and, spit your 2 cents. We like to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely talk. Sid, do you want to give anybody any information, or is it just find you on the Facebook page?
Yeah, you can fucking get at me on the Facebook page. If you're ever in the San Antonio area, come check out fucking Top Deck Gaming Center. I'll be there raising hell and, you know, fucking, yeah, that's how you find me, man. That's it.
Okay, so, next week, well, actually, as a small little announcement, there are no GPs until May 9th because we're into that part of the season where the, you know, new set's coming out and all that other stuff. But we do have an SCG Detroit, and next week is the week that me and Ryan put our feet in our mouths by telling you what the best cards for blah, 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 blah is. We
hey,
do it every
Angela,
time.
What's the name of this, like, ending theme song that's playing?
I don't have a name for it.
Oh, man, you gotta ask the dude what the name is. I fucking love this song.
Always- I just got drunk with him the other night, too. Like, he came down Wednesday before I left for the PT or yeah, for the GP.
Did you tell him that I told him like this shit's the jam, dude? I like this shit for real. This is my shit.
Yeah, I did bring it up to him after you first told me about it. Like I was like, hey, I have somebody asking, you know, where they can find that song. He was like, did you tell them just on the disc that I gave you? I'm like, yeah, pretty much. He was like, well, I he does have a band out, which him and his niece. It's a two-person band. They got a CD coming out shortly, and when it does come out, I'll make sure I shoot that information to you so you can check out some of this stuff because, you know,
yeah.
Obviously, if you like his pure instrumental shit, I mean, his niece, she sounds like the lead singer from Evanescence, so, like, I mean, she got some fucking pipes on her.
Yeah.
So you'll probably end up enjoying that. But, guys, until next week.
Wait, I want Sid to take this out for me. Take it out, Sid.
Fuck yeah,
have a good one. Go fuck yourself.